Today's episode of Outwit Outplay Outlist, covering Survivor's greatest musical moments, is sponsored by our friends over at Magic Spoon Cereal. Look, if you are trying to cut down on carbs and sugars and unhealthy food like me, you know that breakfast can be one of the hardest meals to figure out. Growing up, cereal's one of the best parts of being a kid. I love it. Why can't I enjoy it as an adult that's trying to eat healthy? That's where Magic Spoon Cereal comes in. How about this? Zero sugar, 13 to 14 grams of protein, and only 4 net grams of carbs in each serving, and it's only 140 calories a serving. It's keto-friendly, gluten-free, grain-free, soy-free, low-carb, and GMO-free, and best of all, Magic Spoon has released a brand new variety pack now featuring peanut butter. Get everybody some peanut butter cereal, Probst. They released peanut butter as a limited edition flavor in 2020, and it sold out 3 times. Peanut butter has gotten so much love, they decided to keep it permanent and add it to the best sellers variety pack, which also includes frosted, fruity, and cocoa. Take it from me. Peanut butter is the best. You could also mix peanut butter with cocoa to tempt you from any other breakfast that you might be eating, Jenna and Heidi, okay? Go to magicspoon.com/RHAP to grab a variety pack and try it today. Be sure to use promo code RHAP at checkout to save $5 off your order. I love the Magic Spoon cereal. It is a great breakfast, and it does not feel like you are eating something healthy. Magic Spoon is so confident in their product, it's backed with a 100% happiness guarantee. So if you don't like it for any reason, they'll refund your money, no questions asked. Remember, get your next delicious bowl of guilt-free cereal at magicspoon.com/RHAP and use the code RHAP to save $5 off. Thank you, Magic Spoon, for sponsoring this episode. Hey everybody, what's going on? Rob Sestradino back here with another round of the Survivor podcast that specializes in the arbitrary and the reductive, because we are here to rank once again Survivor's greatest musical moments here on Outwit, Outplay, Outlist. I am Rob Sestradino, and I'm joined here by my co-host for all of these adventures, ranking all of Survivor's most trivial things. Here is the great Mike Bloom.
Hello, Rob. If music be the food of love, Survivor players wouldn't be starving so much. So I'm happy to get a little harmonious and talk about some of Survivor's most musical moments across 40 seasons.
Yes. Okay. We are ready to go. Also, breaking news at this hour. I'm just going through a slight earthquake. Also, as we're going through the show, so maybe
if that's a
good omen or not. Hope the family is okay. But if anything develops, we'll be sure we may have to stop down. All right.
Okay.
With us here also to talk about the Survivor music. It was her idea to come here and talk about this. Here is Jenny Autumn. Jenny, how are you?
I'm great. I hope you are great. I hope that the earthquake is not causing you. Okay. Well, I hope that is the worst thing that's going to happen during this podcast.
Yeah, I'll just text my wife and make sure she's okay.
Yeah, let's just make sure everyone's good. Mm-hmm. But once upon a time, I did a wand off paying tribute to Stephen Fishback's comments about ranking being arbitrary and reductive. And so I feel like maybe something is coming full circle here to be able to be a part of ranking some of Survivor's musical moments.
So yes. Okay.
I'm pumped that this podcast is happening.
Yes. This is going to be a lot of fun here today. We're going to go through Survivor musical moments here today. Of course, we went through everything Survivor Heroes versus Healers versus Hustlers this past Wednesday, the 33rd ranked season, according to the fans of Rob Has a Podcast. So if you missed any of that, myself, Jessica Lee, and Chappelle got together on Wednesday night. Definitely check that one out. And Mike, this is a list podcast together, but we're going to be back talking some Brant Steele next week too.
Yes, so this has been highly requested during the Super Bowl. Several commercials were being shown, led in part by Survivor host Jeff Probst, leading several characters from the CBS Viacom merger up Paramount Mountain, I believe it was called. And it's truly a crossover in the making that only rivals Avengers Infinity War. And so you and me are going to get together in honor of the launch of Paramount Plus, which will host all Survivor content as of March 4th. We're going to get together next week and see what happens when you throw Jeff Probst, Beavis and Butthead, Spock, and more onto a Survivor season. Mayhem will certainly ensue. And who knows, maybe we'll get a theme song out of it to go along with the musical theming.
Okay. All right. Very intriguing. Okay. So excited to talk about Survivor's greatest musical moments here today. How did we define a musical moment on Survivor?
Yeah, so a lot of caveats with this one. I define a musical moment for this sake as a Survivor contestant sings a song on the show. So this is not going to be out of Russ Landau's score. It really stands enough on its own. You could do an entirely different list from that. I included stuff from Ponderosa videos as well as the reunion, since they are sort of Survivor and Survivor adjacent. However, I am not talking about Survivor songs that were songs that were from Survivor alumni outside of Survivor.
Okay.
So apologies to Tidy Whitey's, Otis's discography, Bryce Isaiah's discography. Those
Alicia
will not
Rosa.
Be talking
yeah.
about today.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Okay.
Neither music that will be that is sung during RHAP exit interviews either. Those
and
are not
Chase
canon.
Rice, not to mention.
Well, he might make an appearance, actually.
Oh,
you
okay.
recently watched the Nicaragua okay. reunion, so you might remember that.
Yes.
So yeah, so we are talking about moments where contestants sang either songs they made up or copyrighted songs or something in between on the show Survivor proper.
Yes. Okay. Also, Mike, that are we going off of things that have remained in the CBS All Access library, soon to be Paramount Plus, that a lot of the copyrighted music that has been sung on Survivor has been redacted?
Yeah, well, listen, we're going to be dirty little criminals today. We're going to be playing the music in toto.
Mm-hmm.
So hopefully everything is peachy keen on the side of copyright issues. But yes, a lot of these things, if you go back and watch Survivor now via those channels, you will not find due to said copyright issues, including several moments that might be involving the person that we're talking to on this podcast.
Okay. All right.
Wow.
Are you talking about Jenny Autumn?
Yes. If you remember Jenny's song from Fiji, in which she sang Kalis's milkshake, is completely redacted from episode mm-hmm. 7 of Fiji.
Yeah. Okay. Kid on My Socks is totally redacted now.
Yeah, exactly. For many reasons.
It's on YouTube. It's
okay.
on YouTube.
All right. So
you can find it if you need to.
Jenny, are you excited for this?
I am excited for this. I mean, I think that, you know, musical moments on Survivor essentially gave birth, you know, by way of Josh Wigler, of course, mm-hmm. to something wonderful that RHAP has brought to everyone, the Wand Off. And that is something that is very near and dear to my heart. So I think that this is something that is worth talking
so
about.
True.
There were a lot more moments than I even yeah. recalled when I was just trying to pull things from my head. I'm
yes.
a person that will sing to myself, mm-hmm. not that it's any good. And so I feel like there's like a lot of relatable, people are bored on Survivor. They're singing when they're happy. They're singing when they're sad. So I feel like there's some real good gems over mm-hmm. the 40 seasons.
Yeah. Here, can I share an embarrassing story for me about my time
Please.
On Survivor? And you mentioned some of my things that got redacted. You know, I was in a very like karaoke phase at the time that I went to go play Survivor.
Oh, yeah. Roger makes mention of it.
Yes. And he called me a pathetic loser, which is like, you know, par
Classic.
For the course. Check my mentions. And so
Jesse, just another day on the internet.
Just another day. Just another day. He was an early adopter. And so I was one day, I don't remember exactly why, but I think I sang the entire song of Kelly Clarkson's A Moment Like This, a popular song at the time, coming mm-hmm. off of the first American Idol. And then I remember Tyler, the PA saying to me, "Rob, enough, stop singing." I'm like, "Why? People sing on Survivor all the time." He's like, "Well, they don't sing Kelly Clarkson."
Was it because it was it was on like talking about the biggest show on a rival network? Is that it? Or is it a copyright thing?
You're a loser.
Oh, I was going to say, was it more so that like if you sang the Friends theme song, would they get similarly mad?
I think they might have thought that was cute. Opponent. And it's shorter, I think, as opposed to me just talking about Kelly Clarkson. But look, I was excited for a moment like that. And then it was there. OK,
I mean, some people do indeed wait a lifetime for it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's how I felt. Going on Survivor. All right. That being said. All right, Mike, where do you want to start? Are we going chronological order?
We're going to go chronological order. And you know what? Let's start at the very, 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 very beginning. Speaking of The Sound of Music, we're going to go to the very first episode of Survivor proper. We are going to, unfortunately, Sonia Christopher's one and only episode as the first one out in Survivor history. Of course, that was back in the day of luxury items. Sonia Christopher, very quirky person, brought a ukulele to the island. And there is one memorable scene in the premiere of Survivor Borneo where Sonia sits down with Richard Hatch, the Alpha and the Omega of Survivor Borneo, and she concocts a little song that she made up to Richard called Bye Bye Blues.
Here's the therapist version of Bye Bye Blues. If I can remember it, Bye bye blues, thanks to Prozac. Bye bye blues, give me Paxil. They'll bring birdsing. Sun is shining, no more whining. I live through da, 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 da. Light as hell, but I'm swell. Bye bye blues.
Yeah,
it's awesome.
Yeah, Bye Bye Blues is the exact opposite of 2020.
No, but I think it's time for Sonia to come back, rewrite the song, and it's time to do Bye Bye COVID. I've got Pfizer or Moderna. Just do it all about coronavirus
Johnson
vaccine.
Johnson.
Yes. Yes.
I should also point out this is a real song. Sonia points out.
Yeah, Sonia's like a weird out. Yes. She's a parody.
She was the original like wand off artist.
Kind of, and we
didn't even realize. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I love this. I can just hear her, like I can see her smiling like while she's singing. Like it just like it really does lift me up. I will say, I've taken Paxil and I didn't really like it, so I don't know if I agree with all the lyrics. But
okay.
Did Sonia miss her calling? Should all prescription drug commercials from then on out have had Sonia's music in it? Where like instead of the listless the laundry list of side effects.
Well, no. Mike, you have it backwards. Sonia's song should end with then her may cause drowsiness. Do not use if you are pregnant or breastfeeding.
It turned to like a Gilbert and Sullivan Patter song.
Richard could have like chimed in underneath it while she's still singing. Like a little duet.
Yeah, that's great. I love that. I don't know. At the time, were people humming it the next day? Probably not. But just as it's in the first episode, it's the first boot. It's her like really one moment in the episode falling down.
When people remember Sonia Christopher, I think this is the moment, to the point where I believe when they do the rites of passage, when they go by the torches in Survivor Borneo, I believe it's Sonia playing the ukulele.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So
it's a personality moment too. Like for someone that only has one episode, like that it's like a defining personality moment. So definitely iconic for her, for the season as a whole. Maybe not.
Was it instantly iconic, or did it become iconic or after time?
I think it took time to become iconic.
Yeah. And I mean, I feel like it had a resurgence. Maybe again, I'm looking at everything through the lens of RHAP, but like, you know, the first one out, series where we got to revisit with Sonia. Uh-huh. So I feel like bringing that back to the front of mind, in recent years kind of reminded everyone of this, moment.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Back in the days when like luxury items were pretty cool.
Yes. Yeah. Well, I do feel like that, just to go back to the RHAP part of it, where that, you know, it's HHH week. It's very appropriate because HHH was where the Wandoff all got started. So it's, I think it's very appropriate that we're doing this Survivor music related podcast here as we look back at the 35th season of Survivor.
Totally.
Okay.
Yeah, there's a lot of synergy.
And not to mention also just the other piece of synergy here is that Josh did first one out and Sonia was a big part of the interviews that he did in first one out. And then at the end of that season, we posted like the whole like Josh's like hour long interview with Sonia about her experience. So, Sonia is we linked her to HHH also.
Oh, yeah, exactly. Sonia made her resurgence in 2017. Now she's back again in 2021.
Yeah. Okay. All right. So let's take a look at the board. All right. The great Mike Bloom has put together our list, and I'm going to share my screen here so we can see where to put it. We will put it in one of four tiers that we always do here on Outwit, Outplay, Outlist. Those four tiers are the top tier, worth playing for. Second tier, my life is fine. Third tier is called Ain't No Hershey Bar. And the bottom tier for the most ratchet of things on the list is called Forget. Get you, go home, goodbye.
So I think, ironically, though Sonia does go home here, I think it's at least above that. I am debating if I want to put it in My Life is Fine, because this does feel iconic to me as we discuss whether that's latent or not, much like the side effects of Prozac. But I do feel like this is something that's associated with Sonia. It's the very first musical moment in the show, and so I think it's very unique in that perspective. I don't think it's anything top tier, extraordinary, you know, absolutely quintessential, but I think it's very good.
Jenny.
Yeah, I echo a lot of Mike's sentiments here that the things that make it iconic is that is like the very first occurrence of someone singing a song on Survivor. It's an original song, or, you know, at least partially original, which I appreciate, because I think that that's not always the case with these musical moments on Survivor. So I always appreciate like some original lyrics thrown in. This is the OG. This is starting the wave of people singing on Survivor. So, I mean, I definitely don't think I feel prepared to put it above My Life is Fine.
Yeah, it's good.
So I think for now, until we see what the rest of the spread is, I'm okay with My Life is Fine.
It's My Life is Fine. It's probably going to be at the back of My Life is Fine.
Yeah, I think so.
But on your shot place, already.
Yeah.
A good place setter at the moment, like a nice capo in a ukulele.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. So, Mike, what is the song number two?
Song number two is from season number two. I should also mention here, before we get too far ahead, I want to profusely thank not only the patrons of Rob Has a Podcast, but also Shut Up Tim.
Yes.
For those that might remember, I believe we're going on nearly 6 years ago. You got together with Shut Up Tim and Ryan Elder
to do a
podcast about some of these memorable moments. And Tim was gracious enough to lend some of these sounds to me. This was one that I honestly didn't remember until Tim brought it up, because it's actually a secret scene or deleted scene from the clip show of Survivor, the Australian Outback.
Mm-hmm.
But Jeri Manthe came onto the show to show her star power. And here she's going to attempt a little bit of singing as well by trying some Fiona Apple, which I hear is quite difficult to do. So here is here's Jeri Manthe tuning up her vocal cords to the Ogacord tribe.
I've been a bad, bad girl. I've been careless with a delicate man. And it's a sad, sad world when a girl will break a boy just because she can. Heaven help me fall the way I am. Save me from these evil deeds before I get them done. And I need to be redeemed to the one I sinned against, 'cause he's all I ever knew of love.
Ooh, la, la, la. Fiona Apple's hard to say.
Yeah. Oh. So good. Tina! Tina. What I love about Tina Weston is, again, she presents herself as the nice, genteel Tennessee mom when she can be so cold, especially to someone like Jerry, who she does not have the best taste for. And so that's just a perfect example of the Tina Weston passive aggression.
So that clip actually goes on. And so she's like, oh, yeah, Fiona Apple is like really hard to sing. And then Jerry's like, oh, I think that like her and I are the same key. It's like just so awkward. I love like the like slight passive aggressive, like biting humor from Tina. It's a beautiful moment.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
This is one of my favorite songs.
Whoa.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
So it was a big song.
Did Jerry do a good cover of it?
Sorry?
Did Jerry do a good cover of it, in your opinion? Are you saying no, dog?
Well, here's the thing. I can't sing. Like, let me just get in front of it. I cannot sing. But I mean, I don't think it was the worst. But there were a couple shaky moments. There was the
little pitchy dog.
And like there were like a couple weird pauses, and she like kind of like
no Claudia Conway.
She like right, and she kind of cut and then just like skipped to another part. I also felt like it went on way too long for.
Oh, like, yeah, well, it gets to a certain point where I think she realized that she goes
I know the rest. I know. I was like, are you gonna go through the whole song? And like, it's just the silence of everyone else is just so awkward, paired with the, I don't know if it was like edited in, but like the sounds of the nature in the background.
Yeah. Yeah.
To emphasize that there was nothing going on.
Right.
No backtrack.
No clapping.
When you sing,
along.
Ideally you don't want to hear crickets also.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, unfortunately, Jerry does not get such a warm reception to both her singing and her persona in general in the Australian Outback. So maybe that should have been a sign for her of how she'd be received.
It was a cold room. Maybe on The Surreal Life, if she would have tried it, it would have gone over better.
Not the right audience, I would say, for that.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, a weird song to sing,
like, it, to a group, too. Like, it's just everything about it, like, the lyrics combined with, like, how she was viewed by people was, like, very interesting. Just a very interesting choice by Jerry. Like I said, one of my favorite songs, but it's just like, really, that's what you're going for?
If we're talking about missed opportunities, should Jerry have come back last year with a viral video where she sings all of Fetch the Bolt Cutters, Fiona Apple's newest album?
Sure.
Let's limit it to like 30 seconds.
the iTunes version?
Yes. TikTok. Keep it short.
Yeah,
okay.
TikTok version.
All right.
Vine.
Yeah. I'm going to do TikToks to do a lip sync to all of these songs after this gets done, Mike.
Can't wait.
I love it.
Send me the files. Send me the audio.
Stuff that's coming up. Yeah.
Yes. Perfect. All right. Let's place Jerry on the big board. I don't think we're going to be so rude as to say that this is ratchet. Forget you. Go home. Goodbye. Right?
Yeah, definitely not. I don't know about that.
Mike, you think this is ratchet?
We have a high bar to clear. Okay. Listen. No offense against Jerry, but it's purposely awkward and cringy.
I kind of like that about it, but. I love the song, and I love that it wasn't perfect. And I just love like the humor that came along with it, you know, being so poorly received by everyone. So,
yeah,
I do, to Jenny's point, I do feel the irony of the reception to it may bump it into Ain't No Hershey Bar, but I will say, maybe this is me planting my own seed. I will not be too surprised if by the end of this all, it slips back into the lowest tier.
I mean, fair enough.
I feel like it should be at the back of half of Ain't No Hershey Bar. I don't think it's ratchet.
Is it just because it's Jerry that you want to include her in the Ain't No Hershey Bar?
Jerry's song, Ain't No Hershey Bar, if you ask me. But it's not like, oh my God, this is embarrassingly bad. Like, we said, little pitchy dog. Tina comes over the top with like a like good passive aggressive shade, but it's not like embarrassing for everybody involved.
All right, I'm fine putting it in Ain't No Hershey Bar right now.
Yeah, I have a very low bar for Forget You Go Home Goodbye.
Yeah, I think that it may end up there, depending on feelings, but I don't feel ready to put it.
Let's see what else is on the list. Yeah.
No, I will not jump the gun in this regard. All right, let's move on to the very next season, actually. Season 3. We know how to talk with T-Bird, but let's sing as well. This is the reason why T-Bird sings the intro and outro to the aforementioned Talking with T-Bird podcast.
Here, I will say that Will from America sings the intro.
Oh, I forgot. That for some reason that she also sang the intro as well. But here is the onus of that. T-Bird singing a little bit of Charles Strauss's Annie during the Merge Immunity Challenge in Survivor Africa.
The sun will come out tomorrow. Bet your bottom dollar that tomorrow.
What's she singing?
She's singing Tomorrow.
From Annie?
Uh-huh.
Tomorrow, I love ya. Tomorrow, you're only a day away.
Yes.
Yeah. That's how you get applause, Jerry.
Mm-hmm.
This makes me so happy,
Queen,
to hear.
Yes.
I'm just smiling thinking about it. And again, the reception of it, everyone was like, how can you not love T-Bird, first of all?
She went for it. She went for it.
Yeah.
And this
she gave it her all while holding up water. Like,
this is a prototype of Christian Hubicki filibustering for 5 hours, right? This is like, I'm bored during an immunity challenge. I'm going to throw out a song. I also love that they throw in the crosstalk of everyone being like, she's singing Tomorrow from Annie? Yeah. They're just like in disbelief about it. It's a fantastic capper and very evocative of T-Bird.
Yeah. So, boy, this is great. I remember this so well. I remember when T-Bird was in the running for Second Chances and she came back and I had been reunited with T-Bird after all these years that we hadn't spoken, because we used to like email a little bit after she came through Survivor, and then I played in the Amazon. I had sent her a magic eight ball that she had asked me for after Survivor the Amazon had ended. And then we, you know, sort of lost touch for all these years. And then when she was in the running for Second Chances, I said, T-Bird, like, this is your campaign song. This is The Sun Is Going to Come Out Tomorrow. Like, will you sing it for us? She sang it again on the podcast. Second Chances was not that time, but maybe Talking with T-Bird was.
Exactly.
The sun this did come out.
When one Survivor season door closes, a podcast window opens in this case, and the sun came streaming in through that window.
Mm-hmm. And I think we've gained so much more than we would have. And this is not meant as any offense to T-Bird if she had gotten on Second Chances. But I think that what we've managed to get from talking with T-Bird and just her involvement with the podcast since is like totally worth it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, yeah, it was good for her. It was good for Jeremy, because then he probably wouldn't have won. And
yeah, exactly.
Yeah. So good for all involved. Maybe not as much for T-Bird.
But you know what? She avoided. She hasn't gotten to the hard knock life, I'll just say. I think she got to the podcast and we said, I think you're going to like it here. And
that would be the song to sing on Survivor. You're like sort of like in the Edge of Extinction, Victoria's like scrubbing the pan, like, it's a hard knocks life for us.
Yeah, I think, you know what? If you really want to gain friends on Survivor, go out there and sing musical numbers, because really that just has a fantastic batting average. Just try.
Ron Clark was almost there.
Yeah, just try to theme it to a standard and people will go gaga over it, I'm sure.
Yeah. All right.
I would fail miserably.
Let's take a look at the board. All right. Can't be Ratchet, no?
I mean, this has got to be At Least My Life Is Fine and above Sonya as well.
Okay. All right. So At Least My Life Is Fine. Is it worth playing for?
Yeah, I mean, it's a great question. I could be swayed to put it in there.
I could too. I feel like, I mean, at least for now, and I'm not trying to say, Rob, that you're going to have to change things 8 million times, but I mean, I love it. It is iconic. And like the whole challenge, like, and I mean, I guess we're just talking about the musical part, but like it's tied to an iconic moment for her in general in the game. So yeah. I just feel like it's just so memorable.
Mm-hmm.
It's a good question. Rob, if we don't put it in Worth Playing For, will Clarice light our asses on fire on Twitter?
I don't know if it's as much of a Clarice moment, but
just
better to be
left,
safe
right?
than sorry. Yeah.
Just tell him it was Akiva's idea.
Exactly. Okay. It was Chad. Chad was the one who came up with this list.
Yes. Akiva, exactly. The heart medication. And Sonia, tell him the side effects. Okay. All right. Let's leave it Worth Playing For and see what happens.
Yeah, exactly. Let's put this on Easy Street for the time being.
Mm-hmm. Yes, good job. All right. Mike, what's next?
We're moving on to the Marquesas. And look, when you think Survivor and you think hardcore rap, of course you think Gabriel Cade, the guy that was raised in a commune, brought into Survivor Marquesas, said he really wasn't there for the game, got voted out in the fifth episode. But before he came out of the game, Gabriel Cade had some verses to spit. So here is Gabe rapping about Survivor on Survivor Marquesas.
Now chillin' on my raft in the South Pacific. Looking at my home is gonna see terrific. Got a little taro cooking on the stove. Got a lot of love in my little shack home. Living out here in Survivor 4. Never been south of the equator. Dipping in the ocean. Challenges. Immunity. We never know who we gonna be, cause we're road to and we can do. So let's have a rap. Let's have some little.
So I'm assuming, I don't know, maybe he said a bunch of curse words and they were just bleeping out that last portion because it just seems like he went into a high-pitched noise at the end.
Yeah.
Were those hyenas?
Was this from the clip show? Was that like a montage?
I'm trying to remember if this was from the clip show or one of those early episodes of like Road 2's got nothing to do because they're not going to tribal council.
Mm-hmm.
No, it's in the episode. This is actually in the
episode. Boot episode. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh my God.
Yeah, his game certainly went south of the equator, that's for sure.
There's he's really trying to be Lil Wayne here with the intentional mispronunciation of words to make it rhyme, and it does not fly.
I love it. Oh, I love it so much.
He is saved by Sean beatboxing. Like mm-hmm. that is like the best part of the whole situation. If it weren't for Sean beatboxing, we would have the crickets and the birds from Jerry's.
Mm-hmm. Or you didn't think he'd be like mashing a rock up and down to make a beat happen?
Yeah, that is big where that, you know, you want to have some sort of a backing track here on this Survivor music. Because if it's just a cappella, then the nature really does drown it. Maybe make sure you buy the ocean. Also,
I think though my favorite part is the transition into, I don't know if it's a later part of the rap or just another rap he starts entirely where it just completely changes tempo, but it's more of like, I don't know, a free word association exercise than it is a rap. He's just throwing out like Survivor Society Immunity Challenge.
Mm-hmm. Challenges. Immunity.
We are row two.
These are words.
Yeah. All right. Let's take a look at the board. Gabriel Cade. All right.
And of course, he's, branding the most thug thing possible, a teddy bear while he's rapping as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right, Mike. Does it make it out of the threshold for forget you, go home, goodbye?
I see. It's tough because while I would want to say no, I do think the cringy and bad aspect of it like kind of lifts it a bit. This isn't forgettable. That's for sure. Mm-hmm. And so I don't know how much I can damn Jerry with one, like, you know, not damn Jerry with one hand, but then shoot down Gabe with the other hand, considering that both are cringy attempts at making music out on the island.
Yes. Jenny, what do you think?
I agree with what Mike is saying that because if I was elevating Jerry's performance because I actually enjoyed some of the cringe factor, it would be absolutely criminal, no pun intended on that one, to let him, oh, there goes my duck, go below Jerry on this tier. So I mean, it feels like it belongs down there in a way, but I could argue for lifting it up to anal. I
feel there goes Jenny's duck. She's out of luck.
Immunity.
Row two.
Podcast.
Microphones. Yeah. Let's put Gabriel right behind Jerry for now and see where the chips fall.
Yeah, I agree. I think that I do think Gabe's rapping skills pale in comparison to what we're going to see throughout the rest of this time here. But I think he is a good marker of maybe something you can easily step over if you want to make the list here on what I'll play out list. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay. TKMG says he's no Peter Gabriel. He's no Peter Harkey either.
There's no wah-wah pedal out there. No vocoders.
Yes. Okay. All right. What is next, Mike?
Well, Jenny mentioned Sean Rector, who was one to certainly open his mouth up and sing rom. Hopefully, Tyler, the PA, did not go into Sean Rector as much as he did with you. Because Sean,
I don't know if he was on that season. Yeah.
Yeah. Whether it was him rapping a bit about being on the horses on the way to the village with Pascal. But the one that I picked was very cathartic. We're going back to the musicals here, because after John Carroll was stunningly voted out of Survivor the Marquesas, the next day, Sean, V, and Kathy are celebrating under the Survivor Marquesas waterfall landmark, and they decide to evoke a little bit of The Wiz.
Oh, God, it's so good. Oh, it's a new day. It feels like The Wiz. Can't you feel a brand new day? Can't you feel a brand new day? Can't you feel a brand new day? Can't you feel a brand new day?
And the Matamu tribe was called Yellow, so I think the Yellow Brick Road metaphor totally scans as well.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. So, interesting. This is a nice moment in the season. It comes mm-hmm. on the heels of like the big move that happened in Survivor Marquesas. I have long said that Sean Rector, one of the most talented people to ever play in Survivor, he can sing, he can tell jokes, do impressions, and give great confessionals. And he's showing off just how talented he is here.
He's got a set of pipes on him.
Mm-hmm.
And his energy in the, like, it's just such a pure moment. Like, you can feel how happy he is.
Can't you
like,
feel it?
Yeah, exactly. In the waterfall, you know, V and KVO are chiming in. It's it is a really nice moment. I will say it's not, and I will preface this with that I'm not a big rewatcher of seasons unless it's for a purpose. So it's not something that I like would have drew from my memory, especially like it's not the one go-to memory for Sean Rector, for example, that I would personally pull, but it makes me happy, and it is, I feel like it's a nice character moment for him because it's like a victorious moment. And he's just so rootable.
And I love that it actually all works out that Sean and V were singing a song from The Wiz, and the guy who just got voted out had Kathy P on his hand when he got stung by a seer.
I was not prepared for that.
This Mike Bloom full bloom moment is sponsored by our friends over at Geico. Do you own or rent your home? Sure you do. And I bet it can be hard work, but you know it's easy? Bundling your policies with Geico. Geico makes it easy to bundle your homeowners or renters insurance along with your auto policy. And it's a good thing too, because you already have so much to do around your home. Go to geico.com, get a quote, see how much you could save. It's Geico easy. Visit geico.com today. That's geico.com.
You're welcome, Rob.
Should we look at the chart?
Let's go to the chart.
Let's look at the chart.
It's gonna go easy.
It's gonna go easy. Is that a new tier?
Sure. Okay. Here we go. Sean Rector. I think we have to put him above the bad songs, right?
Definitely above the bad
yeah.
songs.
Yeah.
He's above the bad songs. Where do we go? Is he, does he make it up to My Life is Fine?
That's a great question, because like Jenny said, I don't think this is like as iconic as something like Sonya's song. What I do think it has going for it is the catharsis behind it. And like Jenny said, like the joyousness behind it. And I think it comes from, you know, a very punctual and important moment of the game. It's actually like very representative, much like you would have a song as a backing track for a moment to evoke a certain emotion. Sean sort of has that there. So I think it's definitely below Sonya. My question is it In My Life Is Fine, or is it at the top of Ain't No Hershey Bar?
Okay, Jenny, how do you feel that should Sean pass Sonya?
I agree that I don't think it passes Sonya. And I'm kind of stuck on the same consideration that Mike mentions here about whether it's top of Hershey Bar, bottom of Fine. I like it upon second listen, but it's not something that comes to my mind when I think about the season as much. I mean, neither did the Gabriel Cade rap until I revisited it, but I think it's fine right there for now, right? Mm-hmm. I don't know. What do you feel, Rob?
You know, I feel like that the moment is memorable. I feel like that the song did not stick with me. Like if you said like, could I, right. You know, I remember the lyric Brand New Day, but I did not remember the rest of the song. So,
yeah, you remember them like,
to be fair, there's not much more to the song than what they sing. So
That's true. Yeah, actually, no, I think that I'm being persuaded down to the top of Hershey Bar.
All right, let's put it down there. Let's put it in front of Jerry.
Okay. All right.
Yeah, I'm good with that.
Mike, what's next?
Well, this is going to be familiar to people. We covered this in Survivor's Greatest Voting Confessionals, but since this is also technically a musical moment, we're going to include it here. I'll just say that.
Okay.
Here comes tonight's long distance dedication. It goes out to Rob from New York. He writes, "Dear Casey, there's a mean old man in my life that's about to leave. Could you please play something appropriate for me? Well, Rob, here's your request. Na 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 na, na 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 na. Hey, 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 goodbye."
There we go. Na 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 na. Kiss him goodbye, I think is the name of the song, technically speaking.
It's me. I don't know.
I actually don't know.
Yeah. But worth playing for. Top of the list. But moving on.
And yeah. Number one with a bullet.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
No discussion.
I really like wish I could tell you more about like the origins of like why I did that, why I thought to do that. I don't really like remember like thinking like sitting on it like, oh, if I ever get on Survivor, I'm going to do this. I just didn't know what to do to say to vote out Roger. And so I thought that would be funny. And I felt like I feel like in the confessional booth, take some chances. Like if it stinks, they won't use it, right? And so I went in there and I did my thing and I came out and Jeff was so mad. He was so mad. If you think that that's ever gonna get on the show, or he said there's no chance that will ever get on the show. I'm like, sorry, geez, sorry, I didn't know.
Yeah, well,
were you in there much longer than anyone else? That's like something that I was.
I think the issue was I was too loud. Yeah, I was too loud. And the Amazon.
You're so quiet though. Yeah. Like you're so.
Yeah, but you can see that back in those days, the stumps were in like very much the vicinity of Tribal Council. They did not try to segregate it as much as they have in modern times. So I think you could very easily overhear it, especially if you're singing. I think it's tough to keep it sotto voce.
The people on Survivor Day, it feels like they walk like 20 feet away. Like I kind of feel like that on the Amazon. You're just sort of like, we just like walked like maybe we're like 10 feet away. So yeah, Jeff was not thrilled. I was as surprised as anybody when that was in the episode.
Yeah, well, I think the reason why maybe Jeff was so belligerent at the time is because this is the first and maybe one of the only times that someone sings in a voting confessional. The only other time that I can't remember that won't be in this countdown is I believe Betsy sings Bad Boys, the Cops theme song, when she's trying to vote Ben out in Survivor Samoa. That's the only other time I can really think of somebody singing a song in the voting confessional.
Wow. Okay, is that going to be on the list?
Nope, that is not on the list.
Okay.
I didn't mind. Yeah, I would not want to put the cart before the horse in that regard.
Okay.
This is iconic. Like, we're not going to beat around the bush. I mean, it's maybe, you know, so much more than just like a simple musical moment. Cause like, there's the whole lead up with the Casey thing. But again, I'm probably just going to keep pulling back to the wand off. The reason that you did this comes back again in the existence of Casey Kasem in the wand off. Mm-hmm. And like Mike is saying, the first time someone sings anything mm-hmm. in a voting confessional. And if Jeff had it his way the last time.
Yeah, exactly. I think this is a big moment. It also comes at the conclusion of, you know, this big Roger Boot episode, right, where everyone's just dunking on him the entire time. Rob, you truly had the last dunk that shattered the backboard with being able to literally sing his goodbye song, essentially, to him. Mm-hmm. So I think this is a very pertinent moment in the episode as well.
Yeah. All right. So I will abstain from recuse myself from this. So have at it, and you cannot insult me if you put it in. Forget you, go home, goodbye.
Well, I do not think it's going there. I mean, Jenny, I think it's got to be in worth playing for, because I think this is one of the big musical moments. And look, yes, and we may be a bit influenced, but screw it. This is our list. My question is, better or worse than T-Bird?
I mean, it's hard to say because like T-Bird does like a full-on performance where we're getting a na 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 hey 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 goodbye from Rob. So like there's more to work with in terms of a song and a performance musically from T-Bird, whereas like what also lends to Rob's moment being so iconic is the like the Casey Kasem lead up to it. So don't make me decide. I don't know.
I think you bring up a great point in that, you know, we included Rob's confessionals in the list of greatest survivor voting confessionals, not only just because of the song, but because of the entire Casey Kasem long distance dedication. The song is not the entire thing, whereas T-Bird's performance is just that. And I think the fact that if we're talking about survivor songs, the fact that her entire performance is all encompassed into one, I think that personally beats out Rob's na 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 hey hey. They're both great. This is splitting hairs, but I do think that because we remember more so T-Bird's entire singing rather than Rob's song plus something else, I'm gonna give it to T-Bird over Rob.
I agree. Yeah, I think I feel it.
This should be the new artwork for Talking with T-Bird, though.
Yeah, I like it a lot. Actually, it's a very high quality photo.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, just me and T-Bird. Worth playing for. There you go.
Yeah, so congratulations, Rob. In a musical list, you end up being in the top tier.
There
take
we go.
Take that to the bank.
We're going to take just a quick break from the list to thank our friends over at Legacy Box. Get started preserving your past today. Get 40% off for 40 seasons of Survivor when you go to legacybox.com/Rob for 40% off your first order. Now, all of us have a bunch of old home movies that are only playable. It's like, oh yeah, I think I have a VCR in the garage that works. I got to just find those cables and then find the power cord that gets plugged into that. And let's be real. None of us are ever going to do that. Legacy Box is an ingenious mail-in service to have all those irreplaceable moments that are on those cassettes and tapes and turn them into DVD or digital media that we can consume anytime. Home movies can transport us back to unforgettable times, like all these old Survivor seasons that we're talking about, but actually of you and your family. When was the last time you watched yours, that you heard the voice of somebody that you haven't heard in a long time? That's what these videos can do, and that's what Legacy Box can bring back, and you could be the hero of your family, or a hustler and a healer, when you go ahead and get these movies digitized with Legacy Box. I did this for my mom for a gift, and she loves it. She puts them on. She hears from about people that are not around anymore, and it's something that she does. And it's a very sentimental gift that is a super thoughtful thing to do for somebody else or for yourself. They update you every step of the way. I was getting emails about every step of the process because your home movies are precious, and Legacy Box is going to keep you updated on what what's going on with your memories. Legacy Box is a way for you to easily and affordably digitally preserve your past. The process takes you from start to finish, and it's so easy. You pack them up in the secure case that they send you. They digitize everything by hand, and you enjoy. Get back your perfectly preserved digital copies on a thumb drive, DVD, or in the cloud, ready to watch and enjoy when you are ready. Send your precious recorded memories to a company you can trust, founded by college roommates. Legacy Box is the world's largest digitizer of home movies and photos. Rediscover your glory days by digitizing these irreplaceable heirlooms with Legacy Box. Get started preserving your past today. Go to legacybox.com/Rob to get an incredible 40% off your first order. Buy today to take advantage of this exclusive offer. Send in when you're ready. Go to legacybox.com/Rob and save 40% while supplies last. Let's get back to the list. Let's go to our next contestant. What do you got, Mike?
Well, Rob, we're actually going to stay with you, but we're going to your other season.
Mm-hmm. So what other season?
Exactly. During Survivor, Survivor All-Stars, a lot of heavy rain coming down in Panama as the All-Stars are trying to make a living. And so Shapira always
trying to make a living.
Trying to make a
dollar. Is that what we call it now?
I suppose so. But, you know, Shapira's always one to come up with some sort of way to entertain themselves, whether it's a fake tribal council, etc. And so when the rain finally poured down and you guys are scrounging to get water from what's coming down from the skies, we decide to pull out some CCR, I believe it is. So this is the Shapira Trob, including our very own Rob Cesternino, singing Have You Ever Seen the Rain?
Nobody knows the word. But it's all good today, and I know we gotta drink some water. I wanna know, have you ever seen the rain? Up and down, all the way down.
So this really is like a tribe wand off, right? Because it seemed like you guys were coming up, but true to that effort, there's 15 different sets of lyrics going on simultaneously.
Right. Here's the thing on singing on Survivor. Nobody has the songbook. The lyrics are free form. Yeah. So you gotta, when you go on Survivor, you gotta commit a lot of songs to memory.
I love that this like feels like, you know, late night karaoke where everyone has maybe been overserved by that point. It's like, some people know the lyrics, but not quite. And, you know, yelling over each other and like cheersing in the middle of a song. Like, if I didn't know that you're actually, you know, starving on an island and just very excited about rain, like, it very much sounds like, you know, late night karaoke to me. And, and no one knows the lyrics.
Also, I believe Randy Bailey on a podcast appearance said that this is his all time least favorite Survivor moment.
He
hates this.
Does
more.
Does he hate CPR?
Yes, he hates this more than any other moment in the history of the show.
I think
he
just doesn't
CPR like CPR and then Boston Rob.
Yeah,
that's true. It's a bad combination. He doesn't like Bad Moons Rising. He's a villain, and so I think he doesn't like anything bad. So Rob, is there like an origin story behind this? Was it just that the rain was pouring down and someone just started singing it and everyone joined in?
Yeah, I think we were just trying to like get the morale up around the camp. I mean, it had been raining for a while. We also, I think that this is probably like day four. We did not have a flint. It was too wet. We could not get a fire started. So like we were like literally I want to say dying of thirst, but I don't want to be too dramatic. But like we had not had water in many days, and we were on like a tropical island. So we were just trying to like stay a little bit like not so like down in the dumps.
Mm-hmm. I think my favorite lyric though has to be coming down on Big Tom or on me, as he says that he's like flapping his wings in the rain.
Yeah. Yes, he went full third person.
Yeah, I just love that like people aren't sure whether you're singing the original or are you parody songing, like the you know, the competing voices through it, different interpretations of what you're doing. I feel like it really speaks to, the dynamic of what's going on.
There are good intentions. I think like the Shapira tribe, it's a great microcosm, right? We're like, it's a fun loving tribe, but there are so many dissonant voices with different opinions that it's just a bunch of disharmony.
Yeah,
exactly.
I think that maybe there might have also been like a medley of different songs with Rain in the title. We were trying to come up with them. And then I think that might have been just like the one that stuck.
Mm-hmm. I love CCR. So,
mm-hmm. Yeah.
Or okay. CHAPRA.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right.
True.
Let's rank. Where does the Shapara tribe land on this list? Okay.
It's a good question. Yeah, because I don't know. It's definitely not Ratchet. Yeah. But I would say of the ones we've had so far, it's probably one of the more forgettable
yeah,
ones.
Yeah, I'd say it's a cute moment. It's not hot.
Yeah, I agree. It's, well, I mean, it might have even been cold because of the rain. So
like, very cold. Yeah.
Definitely not a hot moment. Okay.
Is it Ratchet?
See, that's the question. Like, because it's not memorable, does that make it Ratchet to you, in your opinion? I know that sometimes when we do these, you like to say, well, I don't remember it.
Yeah.
So that might make it Ratchet.
It might make it Ratchet, but I think it might make it at the back of Ain't No Hershey Bar.
So behind Gabriel Cade rapping.
Yeah, like I think that maybe there's a version of this list where we come away where maybe we drop Jerry and Gabriel to the bottom, and that's the Ratchet. But for now, I think it's better to be memorable and bad than to be fine and unmemorable.
Yeah, that makes sense.
But I don't think this is Ratchet.
How bad it is like.
Like it's also bad, enjoyable. But it's not that everybody's in on it, so it's not like embarrassingly yes. bad,
right?
Yeah, yes. I do. The group mentality also helps as well, right? That this is not just one person awkwardly singing. Have you ever seen the rain as rain's falling down on Big Tom? Like everyone's joining in exultation as it's happening.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
yeah. All right, let's leave it. Let's leave it there, and we have the right to adjust it at the back of Ain't No Hershey Bar.
All right, let's move away from All-Stars. Let's dry ourselves
Look,
out
please.
From the rain.
Yeah.
Let's dry ourselves by the fire, actually. Because in Survivor Vanuatu, which much like the beginning of this podcast, also featured an earthquake, Scout Cloud Lee was a rather interesting figure. And one time, I believe it's after Rory gets voted out, either Rory or Chad gets voted out, safe to say Sarge is not very happy the next morning. Scout either doesn't see his mood or doesn't care, because she's just going to launch into her own little song to start the day off with Sarge just giving her the worst death glares I've ever seen on Survivor.
I'm picking on the bone of memories still held in my mind. La, 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 la. You lit one tiny candle in the dark. And it's driving me crazy.
Bottom line, it's awkward right now. It's awkward talking to any of them.
I think it's a reward challenge today.
Yeah, I think it might be.
I could just do it. If the entire rest of Vanuatu was the Sergeant Scout show, I'd be fine with it.
Yeah. Okay. Is it an interesting song?
It's not even a song. It's more so just like her vocalizing.
Yeah, yeah, she's like kind of just talking in like a sing-song voice. Mm-hmm. Like, it's very haunting, actually.
Haunting. Good word.
Yeah.
Oh, I like that. Yeah, spooky. Spooky
yeah, there
scout.
Is like, there's definitely like a haunting vibe to it where, I don't know. The vibe is very spooky. My only like knock on this one is just that I think that it's such a like visual comedy moment.
Mm-hmm.
And so,
yeah.
I mean, obviously we're listening to the audio of these clips and, you know, in some cases it does invoke a physical or not a physical, but a visual memory. And I feel like it's hard. It's like, you have to see Sarge's face and like it zooms in on just like this deadpan, like misery. And mm-hmm. I just feel like, without actually being able to see it, it loses some of the impact.
That's a good point, that I think there's a visual component that makes this scene very funny and really elevates this scene, that maybe when you try to separate the audio out. And so from a musical perspective, it doesn't necessarily work as much as like the comedy of it overall, which needs to include the visual as well. This is the first one that I think really requires the visual to make it a top tier.
Okay. To make it a top tier. Okay.
Well, no, to make it, I think, a qualifiable clip, I should say. At least comparable to some of our top tier stuff.
All right.
Yeah.
Let's take a look at the list. So my question is going to be, is this Ratchet?
Ooh. What do you think, Jenny?
It's a great moment. I just don't, like, again, I can't even remember any of the lyrics of what she said. Again, it was almost more like a sing-songy spoken word poetry type
something
thing,
about, like,
more
picking
than
up, picking up the gardens and the bottles.
Challenges.
Yeah, maybe she should have sang background for Gabriel's rapping.
Yeah, that's what that was missing, right?
We're out here on Survivor.
South of the equator.
I don't know. It's just like, I feel like it doesn't bring me back without actually seeing the clip. And I think that it can be easy to forget how funny it is without seeing Sarge's face. I don't know.
I agree. I think this very much qualifies with the first two words of the bottom tier. We forget you, Scout, singing. And so I think we can forget you, go home, goodbye. Yeah.
And the music is a little ratchet.
I mean, they try to back it. I think, like, there's some strings that come in a little bit that make it sound like it's a weird haunted
according
house
to Sarge.
Church.
I'm just saying, according to Sarge, this was ratchet.
That's true. Sarge is the in-house critic. And he, unlike Tina, is not doing like the wow, random musings and whistling is hard.
You came up with those lyrics all by yourself. That's so impressive.
I did not think that. I thought that was written by Bob Dylan himself.
Okay. So I'm good with it here. I mean, is there a case to make it higher?
I think it's fine at the moment. Because I think that, you know, we talked about how in the Ain't No Hershey Bar tier, there are some that lack in certain areas, but make up for it in other areas. Whereas I think that at the bottom tier, Scout, unfortunately, is sort of in double jeopardy in that it's forgetful and it's sort of a nothing burger as well.
Hmm. Okay. All right. Mike, what is next? We're through the first 9 seasons of Survivor.
Through the first 9 seasons. And of course, we know that nothing really memorable musically happens in the 10th. So we're just going to move on.
Stop right there!
Okay, I will stop right there. I'm so sorry. Of course, we got to talk about Wanda Shirk. We have to talk about Wanda Shirk, the reason for the season, and then some. This is the lady behind the wand off. She is memorably one of the people not picked in Survivor Palau, partially because her singing. I mean, I have a couple clips I can choose from. For this sake, though, let's go to the finale, the reunion of Survivor Palau, when Jeff does cede the floor to Wanda. Mm-hmm. Come back and give sort of like a musical reprise. So this is Wanda coming up with a song about Survivor to the tune of Oh Susanna.
We were stranded on Palauan shores with coconuts and rats. We survived the heat, found some food to eat, and some survived the spats. We're survivors, we faced and passed the test. And in history, all the world will see that Survivor 10 was best.
No, you're done. All right, thank you.
Jeff,
the best part.
Yes, girl.
You're done.
Oh, you're done.
Enough.
Oh, too bad. Oh, no. I'm so sorry.
Yeah. And
gong.
With all due respect to Wanda, we will find out sometime around the end of September if Survivor 10 is best. Okay.
Yeah, exactly. So don't put that.
We'll make that call.
There,
that's not for you to decide, Wanda, with all due respect.
I love that Russ Landau and the band attempt to backfill, right? You can hear the piano start to come in like they're trying to
like,
make this a thing. And then Jeff says, no, stop it. Get him out of here.
So two amazing things about this, and one of them is actually not included in the clip, but I need to make sure that it is known to everyone in case they can't remember. Before she starts, Jeff asks, Jeff acknowledges she's got a song written, ready for everyone to hear, and he says, oh, I hope it's short. And he's so happy. As soon as she takes a pause, she's not even necessarily done. He's like, oh, you're done. This is great.
You're done. Yes.
Brief, wow. Fantastic. All right. Yes. Coming up next, what happened to Greg?
The blatant disrespect, Jeffrey. Oh my goodness. Mm,
yeah.
So obviously this came from the fact that in the premiere of Survivor Palau, for those that don't remember, as they're paddling the boat, because all 20 contestants got to paddle the boat in together, Wanda is standing up singing, I believe it's a parody of Heart and Soul about Survivor. And I think Willard said he wants to smack her with the oar because she's just blaring loudly like a megaphone while everyone's paddling. Unfortunately, at least we're led to believe it causes her to not be one of the ones picked for a tribe. She is eliminated. And on her drive out with Jonathan Libby, she then sings a parody of, I believe, Maria called Survivor with her fist raised triumphantly in the air like she's Richard Nixon getting on Air Force One.
The great thing about this is that like everyone's in the boat, like, you know, paddling, and like she's like in, like she's standing up and like rocking her body with her like probably just making the whole situation so much harder for everyone. Like, forget the singing, just the bodily motions of it all, and the fact that she's just straight up standing up and messing up the, like, you know, the weight distribution,
the motion of the ocean.
The motion of the ocean, exactly.
Now, it's interesting, though, because, again, if we're talking about someone ahead of the trends, did Wanda predict the sea shanty trend on TikTok?
How so? Oh.
I mean, she's on the sea. She's singing a shanty here. Actually, let me play.
Shanty, very shanty-esque.
Let me play. Let's see if we can discern this as a sea. She's that.
See?
We're sitting there on a really hot day rowing the boat, and this lunatic jumps up and starts singing a song. I want to knock her off with the oar.
I mean, at first you thought, oh, that's so cute. Look, Wanda singing. Oh, and then she just kept going and going and going. And everybody was just like, is she going to stop?
We are survivors!
I've written a bunch of songs for Survivor, and I'm all about this being one big party as long as it lasts.
It didn't last long.
It didn't last long.
It was, yeah. Is that a shindig, a soiree, a party? Mm-hmm. What is the classification of Wanda's Survivor party?
Wanda's Survivor party is someone who pulls out the guitar and says, like, all right, everybody, who's in for Wonderwall? That's Wanda's Survivor party.
I feel like that maybe is to come, but
Wonderwall.
Yeah.
But I also really enjoyed the editing of this moment, because you've got like Willard, you know, saying that he's gonna hit her with an oar, which yikes. and then I can't remember who.
I think it was Kobe.
Is it Kobe? Yeah, it's Kobe. Yeah. And you can hear they still have her in the background, like singing as, like, they're giving their confessionals.
So Jeff Probst can go in and say, "Okay, you're done.
Like, you're done.
Keep going."
Yeah.
They gave her the.
Tom should have said that on the boat. Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, Wanda is an icon, and she has been a big part of all of our lives from Survivor Palau through the Evolution Strategy, through the Wand Off, and we stan a singing musical queen. Okay.
Absolutely. Okay, so that being said, bottom line, number one so far, I think, bar none.
Mm-hmm.
Because for the record, this is the only Survivor contestant that the editor is making us believe to make us think that the reason this person was voted out of the game of Survivor, essentially, was because they were singing too much. And that is the most unique way I've ever thought of in general of a way a Survivor contestant can leave the game. And if we're talking about musical moments, you have to give it to her, even just purely based on that.
All right. It's an interesting case. I probably wouldn't have started there, but I mean, she is the only Survivor who is known for that. She's the lady that sang all those songs.
That's her whole storyline. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, that is literally the whole story of her Survivor party, if you will. And, you know, we have seen that sometimes Jeff does not give the time of day to first boots, or, you know, ones that don't even end up getting to play the game. And while it pained him deeply, as we heard, he did like allow her moment. Like, this is Wanda. There's nothing else that we can associate her with from her time on Survivor. So I just feel like if we're really ranking musical moments on Survivor. Like, she really does embody that.
Hmm. Okay.
And look, you know what? Let's evoke some timeliness here. It's the time of Wanda in more ways than one. Yes. Let's put a Wanda in the top here.
There you go. I had suggested to Josh Wigler that it would be a compelling interview if he could get Wanda Shirk to review WandaVision.
Interesting.
What would she say? Would she get it?
Yeah. Through musical form, specifically.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Maybe she's really hooked.
You know what? As much as I love the Lopez couple that wrote all those theme songs for WandaVision, bring in Wanda Shirk.
Mm-hmm.
You know, maybe if Disney had been under the Paramount mountain, maybe they would have gotten that in-house talent.
Yeah. Okay. Michael, where are we going next?
Well, speaking of in-house talent, so three seasons later, we had a similar Survivor contestant who also went out in episode one by the name of Sekou Bunch. Sekou Bunch, by profession, was a musician. And so, like Jenny said, Jeff at this time was being rather charitable with giving time to early boots on the reunion show. And so a unique opportunity presented itself. What if Sekou Bunch not only wrote an original song about Survivor, but performed it in the lead up to a commercial break during the Survivor Cook Islands 1 reunion? Here is what happened.
He was first off, but so enthusiastic he wrote a song about Survivor. He is sitting in with our favorite Survivor.
Get on your feet, everybody!
David Vandercore and Russ Landau, the Survivor House band. Dig it.
Woo! It's time to save the world. To all your family and friends, are you ready for the day to begin? You start to wonder if you stand a chance to win.
Survivor! Come on, everybody sing!
Survivor!
Come on, everybody clap your hands!
Survivor!
why was this not the theme song for the show moving forward?
It's a great question. It's a great question that they could have used it. They could have used that song. That this is like, I think that they did not have a question for Sekou, but they're like, all right, what if we let you sing your song?
Yeah. Well, I got some lyrics about leaving your friends and family behind, going onto an island. Yeah, sure. We'll throw you out there for 30 seconds. And Jeff will cut you off if you exceed the time limit.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to lie. This is one of my favorite Survivor, let's say Survivor reunion moments ever.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I love this so much. Far before we were ever creating Wandoffs, myself and Colin Latchford would just sing this to each other. Like, and all it is Survivor! Survivor. And like, we'll just text it to each other sometimes, like years later.
How does that go in a text?
Well, you have to, it's like, so it's like, all caps, Survivor, and then lower caps, Survivor. Like,
yes.
Yeah.
Is that what the so LinkedIn message I have from Colin Latchford means?
It may be. Mm-hmm.
Wait, so are there no musical emojis affiliated with it? You just text in all caps, Survivor, and you're to assume that the lower caps mean the reprise of it.
And you also have an ellipsis, so it's like for the pause, because like... the clapping in there. I mean, it's...
Oh, you can put in parentheses, though. Everybody join in. Because I believe that's what Sekou yells, even though it's a brand new song. He's encouraging everyone to join in.
You know this one, everybody.
We literally don't.
Guess how I say Survivor next. Like, just give it a try. It'll work.
Gabriel Cade did not do Survivor, Survivor, Survivor. So Sekou has that predictability.
Mm-hmm.
That is true. I also love Somebody Scream.
Like,
it would have been me. I would have been.
But I will say, so Jeff has come, you know, some way from Wanda in the reunion where you really felt like he was being nudged into it. And he's like, oh God, I guess I'll let Wanda Shirk sing her song, but oh my God, it better be short. To this time, not only is he letting Sekou sing, he's giving him the backing band. He's really like making a moment of it. He's clapping along with it. So I feel like he maybe learned that maybe he didn't give Wanda her full moment the way that he should have at the Palau reunion, and that he comes around and gives it to Sekou, perhaps. Wanda, or maybe he's just more of a Sekou fan.
Wanda whispered so Sekou could scream. That's where it ended up being. He's like, all right, I think we can do this. Maybe Wanda led to the casting of Sekou. They said, we need more musical Survivor
singers.
We
need more musical first boots.
If we ever have another live know-it-alls, I'm definitely going to use the somebody scream.
And then just to do the hung scream from Amazing Race 32.
That'd be fantastic if we could get that. Hey, so somebody scream if we could get that. Hey, that's a lot. Okay. All right. That being said, I checked out Sekou Bunch. That Sekou Bunch has a 1991 CD called Sekou. With a bunch of tracks, including Pastels, Night in the Town, as a matter of fact, and Dolphin Dance.
Oh, is that an Ian Rosenberger parody?
Maybe. And then he has a song called What? ? Mr. Bunch.
I need to hear that. I'm sorry.
Yeah, it's not available here. You gotta buy the CD. Support Sekou, everybody.
Well, you know, I got to review the discography of one Enzo Palumbo, aka DJ Squall, and most of his tracks were just like spoken word snatches of conversations. Maybe that's what Mr. Bunch was, just Sekou being like, who are you? What? Mr. Bunch. I'm Mr. Bunch.
Yeah.
Somebody scream.
Yes.
What?
You can get it on Amazon Music if you want.
Okay, well, I'll look into that maybe.
Yeah, okay.
The Survivor song, though, is, like, it's very, like I said, very important to me.
Jenny, are you going to put this in the top tier? You can put this worth playing for?
Oh.
Listen, I will, I'm not going to force your hands. I'm only one vote on this here panel.
Somebody scream!
So just scream!
But I will scream for him! I will scream!
I'm keen to put this at least in My Life Is Fine. Because I think this is, it's very iconic for the person. Granted, I think it's less memorable than something like Wanda from A Fellow First Boot. But, like, this is such an incredibly surreal moment. And I think it's evocative of those middle eras of Survivor where there was so much weird stuff going on. Let her first boot sing an original song about the show at the reunion using the house band. Whatever.
Sure, sure. Because I think they were going to probably play out to go to commercial anyway. They're like, let him do it. Whatever.
And, like, the cast is, like, clapping along awkwardly, like... Here's the thing. I know there's no way I'm getting this up into worth playing for. And I understand that to most people, it is not as iconic as like Sonya. So if you want to leave it right where it is right there, in My Life Is Fine, that is, my life will also be fine. I just want it said, I want it on the record that this is very, very near and dear to my heart. And I love Sekou Bunch.
Okay.
To the point where Jenny does know the word. She will fill in the blank when Sekou asks.
Yeah, will scream. I will. And I will know how to say Survivor. And I know how to text it to somebody.
Yeah.
Throw in maybe the music emoji at the end. I don't know.
Wait, Sekou would be thrilled if he knew. Add him to the text chain.
Someone let him know.
Add him to the group text.
It's still relevant to me in 2021.
Yeah.
But if you add him to the group text, please greet him with, what, Mr. Bunch?
Yes, and name the group text the Sekou Bunch also.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, exactly.
Yes. Okay. Mike, are you good with this, or do you want to adjust it at all?
No, I'm perfectly fine with putting him right behind Sonya. It actually looks like Sonya and Sekou are, like, collaborating
with talking.
The way the pictures are facing each other.
It looks so good.
Okay.
Bye Bye Blues featuring Sekou Bunch.
Okay. Let's go to our next moment.
All right, so we're actually taking a large leap here. We are going to the clip show of Survivor Samoa. Now, I did not get Betsy singing the Cops theme song, but I did capture the enigmatic Shambo, or Shambo, as Eric Cardona would call her. And I think true to the show she was on, she sings some Survivor as well, but maybe in a different way than Sekou. This is how they actually close out the clip show of Survivor Samoa.
It's the eye of the tiger. It's the thrill of the fight. Rising up to the challenge, our rival. It's the last known survivor at the end of the night.
I just gotta say, I really love Shambo. I really love Shambo.
Yes.
I do too.
Yes.
I love the doot, doot, doot. Like, anytime that also makes the cut, it's just like, chef's kiss to me.
Lyrics are hard.
It's even veering off the road at a certain point where she goes, it's the last known survivor at the end of the night, I think is what she said.
Sure.
Yeah. In the video version, you can see her wheels turning, trying to figure, like trying to remember, like she's actually like, I think that's the next word.
And everybody knows that the next lyric is actually the last known survivor. It is Natalie White.
Yeah, exactly. If you study Edgic specifically.
Yes.
You must look for the Edgic right now on Survivor.
Okay. So, Shambo, who that T-Bird got very close to a talking with T-Bird with her once upon a time.
Oh, come on,
T-Bird
man.
Put in hours on the phone with Shambo.
Is it Shambo being
to
like,
convince
what was,
her? And it's
now, what was that lyric again? Oh, come on.
Hours.
I can remember
hours.
What that line was.
That T-Bird called to the point where. That Shambo agreed if T-Bird flew to her house and did the interview in person. And T-Bird was telling me, she was like, okay, and now Rob, I didn't tell her that you're on the show, so we'll just I'll tell her that you're my co-host. I was like, that's fine. I don't have to talk. I don't have to be there.
Do you guys have beef? I don't understand.
No, I don't know. It was like the T-Bird was like trying so hard to reel her in. And eventually she decided she didn't want to do it. But
all right.
I love how bargaining chip is like, I'll come to your house. Like, yes. It's like, I'll invade your space. Right,
I think that was Shambo's suggestion. I think that was Shambo's.
You're going to have to pull a dateline. We're going to have to do this interview in person, please.
And T-Bird was like, I'll go if you want me to. I'm like, T-Bird, we don't need to do that. We don't need to go there in person.
T-Bird's used to flying in many
for the one-on-one with Shambo.
I don't want to go that far for an in-person interview with
this
Shambo.
This was pre-COVID. It was pre-COVID.
Okay. Oh, my God. That is incredible.
Yes.
I'm sad now, to be honest.
T-Bird, she'll go anywhere for the interview, but it didn't work out with Shambo. Okay. But maybe we get her to call in and sing.
Then maybe she'll finally get that lyric.
Yes. Maybe we'll get her on the next Masked Survivor. Okay. All right.
Yeah. When she's of right mind and fed and not, you know, on an island, she might.
No, I think she'd give it away though, Rob, because she'd be like, twinkle, twinkle, little star, dot, dot, dit, 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 car. And you're like, oh, that's got to be Shambo.
Yeah, those are the lyrics. Okay. All right. This is Ratchet, but it shouldn't be in Forget You Go Home Goodbye, I don't think, right?
Yeah, I feel like this feels distinctly separate from Scout. Scout is funny because it's included with like the Sarge dynamic. This is funny on its own because A, it's Shambo, and B, she forgets the lyrics halfway through the song yet still commits to finishing it.
Hmm. And you can tell even without seeing her that she's having a moment with it. There's like a little pause. It doesn't even fully rely on the video component to get the like the humorous piece across. So that's definitely why I would put it above Scout.
Okay, above Scout. All right. So now we're in the era of okay. I think it's got to be better than like Fine and Forgettable, right?
Yes. Is it? It's Shambo versus Shapira.
Okay.
Who wins the battle of the shushes?
Yeah. Is this the
shush them all.
Best of three subpar performances of Jerry, Gabriel, and Shambo?
Oh, this is really splitting hairs. I would definitely group these three together. I think the question is, where does she fall? Is she in the middle of this Shanwich, or is she at the top?
I think she's at the top of this.
What do you think, Jenny?
So, between Sean and Jerry is what you're saying?
I think she's ahead of Jerry. I would put her Jerry.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Sean, Shambo, Jerry.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, okay. I'm good with that.
Yeah, I'm fine. I'm fine keeping this for now.
The thing, here's the thing, is like it's in a confessional. It's so it's lacking the audience, which mm-hmm. is part of what I really enjoy about the Jerry clip, and also like the participation of the rest of the tribe in the Gabe Cade clip. So it's a lot more standalone for me, but mm-hmm. I don't know. I think it does speak for itself a little bit more than the other two. So I think I can live with this. Right.
And I do like the fact that this is like, she's literally singing the band Survivor's song mm-hmm. on the show Survivor.
Exactly.
And she knows it's so clever. Like, oh, let me do this. Like, I bet y'all never done this before. And then she completely
does she know that, Mike?
I think at the that's
there is mention of the survivor in the song. I would hazard to guess Shamble does not know that the name of the band is Survivor.
See, I thought that that's exactly why she's singing it, because I mean, like, why else? It's such a random. Well, it's not like that random.
I don't know, unless Shambo's in another outtake going like, I'm a survivor, I'm not gonna give a da 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 do do, I'm gonna work barter.
I need that one next, actually.
Yeah, Shambo covers Destiny's Child.
Yeah. Well, the chorus of the song is about the being the last known survivor. So it's also in the song. So you're on Survivor. She could like the song. I don't know if it's necessarily because they're like, hey, you know that band Survivor? They've got that song, Eye of the Tiger.
I don't know. I think someone who...
I'll ask T-Bird to call her back and see it.
Yeah, at least get that answer.
I'll be like, T-Bird, all right, here's what you're going to do. That tell Shambo that you're doing a quiz, okay? You're going to tell her the name of a song, and she has to tell you who the artist is. And we'll give you like 10, and then see if she knows this one.
Yeah.
And we'll play that game on the podcast. Yeah.
Someone who puts their mullet on a pedestal, there is a 95% chance that they are aware of the band Survivor. That's all I'm saying.
It's an interesting debate.
So is it
put it on a Twitter poll.
An 80s band?
Yes.
Is that okay, yeah. So I feel like everything lines up that I'm pretty sure that she's being cheeky here. She knows the band Survivor. And that is why she's singing this particular song.
Interesting. Okay.
Even if she doesn't fully know the lyrics.
All right. Mike, what's next?
We're going to the very next season, and we're going to Ponderosa, folks. The moment you have been waiting for is here. We're talking about the dragons. Now, look, I have a full, like, 2.5-minute clip that involves a little bit of a babble before they get into the music video for their song. I think it's like Pack the Dance Floor or something like that. So I'll play a little bit of it. I won't play the full thing. But let's get a taste of the dragons and the musical prowess they were able to craft and sculpt during the Ponderosa of Heroes versus Villains.
Mm-hmm. The Dragon Slayer. I'm one of the lead vocalists for the Dragons. New band on the scene. You're about ready to watch our first of hopefully many videos on the dance floor.
Second verse, I'll fade it out there.
Yeah, we got it.
JT has a little guitar solo in the middle of it.
Yep.
There's a whole EP, guys, okay? Mm-hmm.
Yes. Yeah,
so I do believe that. I think Coach, was it this week, announced that there would be an EP of the Dragons coming out?
Okay, congratulations.
Talk about synergy.
Yeah, exactly.
It's all happening. Yeah, Dalton Ross, I believe, early in last year, during the very beginning of quarantine, that he released the full, hundreds of pages. Very long. Very long. Hundreds of words, certainly.
It's an oral history of the Dragons, essentially. It tracks it from when it was initially conceived, when it was just Coach fooling around playing Rock Band, to the band's conceptualization, to bringing in outside of its trio the likes of Amanda Kimmel, Candace Cody, DDL, even Rupert on a couple of background growls, to the time that they tried to all wear their dragon shirts to tribal council, and they were banned from doing so, and Coach threw a hissy fit.
It's incredible. The oral history of the Dragons is insane, because Coach took it so seriously.
I say with no impunity that I think this might be Dalton Ross's greatest work. It is a fantastic highlight about how much everyone committed to the bit and then some.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think in some ways, I think the oral history of the Dragons has superseded the Dragons. Might be a hot take.
I can subscribe to that.
Mm-hmm.
In the same way,
the oral history of the Sleepover podcast superseded the actual Sleepover podcast that was recorded.
Yeah, but it's not like there is a recording of this song. We just heard it. It's unlike the Sleepover podcast where the audio was disappeared due to, I think, protest.
Yes.
And on the Entertainment Weekly YouTube page, you can find, I think it's a five song EP that they of songs they actually recorded, and they're all special in their own way. Like,
I do believe there is a rap where Coach is like, my name is Coach Chisel. Like, I'm do great with the bizzle. Like, they actually do write lyrics for themselves.
Mm-hmm.
And Courtney's like every line Courtney raps is about having double D's or buying double D's or popped double D. Like, it's very, please go listen to this whole EP if you do nothing else.
Yes. Okay.
This evening.
Maybe
or
she's referencing Danielle DiLorenzo, who would join the Dragons. Yeah.
She literally just missed her fellow villainess so much.
Yes. Okay. All right. So it's interesting. The Dragons as a concept, I think, is also better than the Dragons as a musical performance.
I mean, it is truly ludicrous that jurors got together and said, we're going to form a band and record original music.
Mm-hmm.
We're going
Ludacris
to make
was
up a-
involved in this project. I missed it.
Yeah, I mean, there was exactly.
I've got coach.
So, you know, to have this actually conceptualized and have it turn into, this really was the first big Ponderosa moment. I feel like that everybody, even back in 2010, was talking about, like, yeah, these three survivors made a band and they released a music video. They talk about it in the oral history about how just OTT it was, and the fact that they actually went through with this is... It's just so ridiculous to talk about even years after the fact.
Mm-hmm. And three of like the strangest people to ever put together. Like, that I think is part of the beauty of it. It's like Coach Courtney Yates and JT Thomas. Like imagining these three people even speaking to each other, let alone coming together for a musical project.
Yeah, I think I'm glad JT doesn't sing, because he essentially is the equivalent of Shambo going do 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 do, just marble mouth completely over the entire track.
Mm-hmm.
I love that Courtney's like, and occasionally JT comes in with a harmony.
Yeah, he's more of the guitar guy, but I also believe the Dragons music video is truly a sight to behold. There's some great shots of the three of them on the rocks. Also, them committing to, like, I think it's Coach on the, he's on a drum set, but he uses the Rock Band drum set of, like, the electronic looking rubberized pads. So even though they're trying to come across as professional as possible, he's still playing with a child's video game toy.
It's still the test
of
time.
How dare you, not a child's video game. I played many hours of Rock Band as an adult. Thank you very much.
All right. Let's look at the big board. All right. Where are the Dragons going? Dragons are not Ratchet, right?
No.
Okay.
I'm going to put in my argument here. I think this should be number one.
Better than Wanda.
better than Wanda. Now, look, this may be sacrilegious to Rob has a podcast, but the dragons is a concept and an idea that is so incredibly memorable to me that the fact that three jurors in Ponderosa after being voted out said, "Now let's not only form a band, but let's create an entire concept around it, create multiple tracks, involve other people, etc." It is, I think, one of the top tier Ponderosa moments ever that has stood the test of time. And when we're thinking musical moments, I think look no further than either the woman who gets voted out of Survivor for singing too much or the group of Survivor contestants that started a band off of the show.
Okay.
I fully agree with what you're saying, Mike, and I think that it is a very, very valid point. But I personally still would put it behind Wanda simply because so much of its legacy is outside of the show itself.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know. It's a very, very close two for me. It's very, mm-hmm. very close. But I think for me personally, it's absolutely worth playing for me. I put it between Wanda and T-Bird. Myself. Rob.
Could Survivor's greatest musical moment have happened off of Survivor?
That's a good question. It's a good question. Technically, it's not on Survivor. Those that did not check out Ponderosa wouldn't know this from Adam Klein specifically. But... it's a very good question. I would not quibble if it was number two, but I do feel like at least for those of us that were in the know about Ponderosa, this is just an mm-hmm. enigmatic moment that I think was only magnified further by the entire oral history depicting the process.
Mm-hmm.
And that it's still talked about to this day, clearly. I mean, coaches discussing, you know, new music coming out from the Dragons. Like the relevancy is, you know, it has lasting power.
Yeah. I do believe that a lot of Wanda's impact was off of the show also. So
mm-hmm. right.
just to That's be a good fair. Point. I mean, there was more work put into this than any of the other things that, I mean, I don't know how much time Seiku spent in the studio on Survivor. Well. Yeah.
Just the fact that we get a music video out of this, does that help or hurt it?
I think it helps it just in terms of like the production that went on to form the moment, whereas a lot of these other moments are just off the cuff. I mean, Sonya probably spent some time with a pen and a pad trying to come up with what was going on in the Prozac song, Bye Bye Blues.
Mm-hmm.
I can live with it.
Yeah, here's the thing. It's like I don't feel strongly enough about it to stump. I think that like... for me, Wanda and the Dragons being in the top spot in some way is mostly what I feel strong about.
Mm-hmm.
I would just say I think I would personally maybe put it just behind Wanda. But if you guys feel like top spot, it does not. I'm good with it too.
Yeah, Wanda
it does deserve to be up there.
Wanda started singing, and the Dragons said, "No, you're done.
You're done.
You're done."
Okay. All right, we still have time to adjust it, but let's leave the try the Dragons in the top spot on and see how that feels. Dragons,
look at this picture from the music video, and you cannot tell me that this is not top tier at least. Mm-hmm. I mean, look at Coach trying to do his best Creed, arms wide open, like unbuttoned shirt. Courtney's trying to sway the best she can, and JT's holding a guitar for no reason.
Yeah, it's Dragons, Wanda, T-Bird, Casey Kasem are the top four right now.
The guitar is very like 90s grunge to me too. So like, yeah, I'm really seeing Coach embodying like the Scott Stapp of it all.
Mm-hmm.
I guess Creed is maybe like early 2000s. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Yeah. Time is a flat circle.
Yes. Okay. Mike, what's next?
All right. So we're going to go a little bit off the beaten path here, where we're going to go to the next season, Survivor Nicaragua. And maybe this is a bit of a leftover, actually, Rob, from the previous podcast we did, memorable Jeff Probst moments. But LaFleur decides to do a chant as they walk into the first immunity challenge in the premiere of Survivor Nicaragua. And it's a cold response, as much as Ogacore gives Jerry Manthe. But this is what LaFleur, the routine they attempt to work up when entering their very first challenge.
Okay.
Okay.
So hot. So hot. The floor is lava. Yes. Got to recycle that one. Okay. So, yeah, that's. I feel like it's more of a dance than a song. It's more of like a.
It is definitely a
like
a
we
number.
Didn't put like a Earl doing the meke in the greatest musical moments.
But I mean, there is chanting to it. Right? They're vocalizing. Earl was not putting lyrics to this. They're still doing like the who, ha, who. When there is a le floor at the end of it, it's
floor.
Small. It's small. It's sweet. It's a small little bit of musicality to it.
Okay.
I mean, if you're just hearing this audio only, the chanting part is very strange sounding until you can put together what's actually happening.
Oh, really? Let's listen to it again.
Okay.
Yeah, are we sure that this wasn't the audio pulled from somebody's Lamaze class?
Ah, La Flor Lamaze.
Mm-hmm.
Lamaze.
Maybe this was Brenda, in not from Nicaragua, but from right before she had her baby at the Caramoan reunion show.
Yeah, and the baby comes out and they name it La Flor. That was actually it was a birthing tape.
Yeah. Do we know, did the La Flor tribe do this every time they came in? Or do you think that Jeff Probst was like, you're done?
No, I'm pretty sure Jeff's very tepid response really dipped down the bun. They're like, okay, I guess we won't do that again.
Yeah, imagine thinking that went great after that response. Yes.
I think, and Rob, correct me if I'm wrong, you watched the season more recently than I do. I believe for the second immunity challenge, it said they just march in unison and then like put their heads down, pick them up and go, the floor. So they tried a different thing. Less so the like camp color war. Ooh, we're the yellow team. Yes, we're the yellow team.
Yes. Mike, did you see then when Espada countered at the next tribe, next challenge, where they came in line dancing?
Yeah, they were actually dancing to the YMCA, true to their age bracket. And unfortunately, I did not include Jimmy T singing American Girl in this countdown.
Okay. All right.
My name is Malcolm.
All right. So I don't know. What are we calling this? The chant?
I just called it La Flor.
La Flor chant.
La Flor chant. Okay. All right.
Get on La Flor.
Okay. All right.
From off the dance floor to on La Flor.
There we go. All right. Is this ratchet?
I don't know. What do you think, Jenny?
Yes.
More ratchet than Scout.
Yes.
Wow.
Oh, Jenny, say this is the bottom.
The floor. It's not really a musical. It's not really a musical moment. Mm-hmm. It is very much accompanied by the whatever.
We had this a little bit in Noticeable Hats where there were things like that's not a hat. Like this is not a song.
Is this the Phillips Feather of this list?
Yes. Yes, I agree now. This isn't a song. It shouldn't be here.
I'm saying La Flor, like, counts as a song. I mean, at least Scout's, like, weird, spooky, spoken word song thing, it was a little bit more musical than the La Flor chant. So for me,
What definitely puts Shapara above this as a tribe is that everyone on Shapara is participating. All La Flor, I think.
You can't tell me Sue Hawk was singing along. No way.
I think she was chanting.
No way.
Blaring her brains out.
Sue Hawk did not participate in any group activity.
Arms crossed.
She wouldn't. She wouldn't eat with us. She did her own thing the whole time. She was not singing a song.
But at least we didn't see that in the way that we see like Shannon Elkins and Chase Rice, ironically enough, not participate in the chanting here. They were not in on the group activity, and that's more visible to me. Mm. Like they're the ones, I think Shannon actually like shakes his head like, look at this BS as everyone's trying to do it, which I believe it's only the women and Fabio who attempt to do this entire thing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Fabio's really into it. It's one of those things where it's like, you can definitely hear the conversation of just like, oh man, I really don't want to do this. Like, mm-hmm. or like, you know, it's like, you know, like a school play production where like one person's like barely doing the hand motions because they're so embarrassed by like what's happening, but they're like just trying to like play along.
Yeah, I do
did not have the cohesive nature here. So
I think it belongs on the bottom, absolutely, because I think that in both cases, the humor actually comes from not necessarily the song, but the response to the song in both Sarge staring daggers at Scout and Jeff's K in response to LaFleur trying their thing. So I agree, it's definitely in the bottom tier. And Jenny's argument swayed me. I'm fine making this the bottom pick right now.
You're the worst. We have a new LaFleur.
Exactly.
All right.
Much like Dalton Ross's Survivor rankings, Nicaragua's at the bottom right now.
Is it? That can't be right.
Yeah, well, it wasn't until Island of the Idols. Yes.
Nicaragua
was his, up until then was his least favorite season.
Okay. All right. Let's go back to the lineup. What do you got, Mike?
Well, let's go from the lineup to perhaps a line dance, because Chance Rice might not have participated in the little floor champ, but he says, you know what? I got a beat in my heart. I'm just a race card driver man changing jacks.
He's a jack man.
He's a Jackman. Dwee dot dot dot.
That means something else to me.
Mm-hmm. He's Hugh Jackman, if you will. But the Greatest Showman decides to make his appearance here in the reunion of Survivor Nicaragua, where once again, Jeff cedes the floor to a contestant, says, hey, Chase, I hear you've been working on some stuff, even though you lost the game as a consolation prize. Why don't you do a little ditty for us here on the reunion? And once again, Mike Sekou, Chase Rice, is going to take us into the commercial break.
Chase, give us just a taste of something that you've written.
All right, we wrote this last week, and it's called Bucks Back. It's on. We recorded an EP on Thursday, so that's going to be out soon. So this will be the first single, 11. So
9 a.m. came way too fast. My head's pounding like a dynamite. Try to sleep in on Saturday. This hangover sure happens with a good thing. The dogs are playing UT on the TV. Cause that's reason enough for me to get a six pack of Remedy. I get my butt back and I'm feeling alright.
Wow, Chase sounded pretty good from up here on the stage. Still to come tonight. One of the most despised survivors ever, Bianca, and one of the season's most likable, James, plus one of the season's biggest underdogs, Holly, and find out how Survivor saved Jimmy Johnson's life. We're live in Hollywood. It's the Survivor Nicaraguan reunion show. Pick it up.
Playing your song? Let's get weird.
Somebody scream!
Somebody scream, because you won't wear a mask at my concert.
Jeff was really adding his own lyrics to that and just shouting over it.
Yeah. They're like, all right, cut his audio. Let me do my segues.
Did Jeff say the opposite? Did he say, like, kick it up? I think is what he said to Chase after he finished his little spiel, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. So, got my buzz back. Was this a single for Chase Rice? Did this go on to be a hit?
I don't know. Is this on his album? I'm not sure, actually.
Should I check Spotify to see if, like, this is one of his...
Buzz My Haircut?
Buzz My Haircut. I think the song is about, like, the day after you drink. I think they start drinking again. Get your buzz back.
Buzz back, yeah.
Yes.
Oh, gotcha. So it's like, oh, you're feeling hungover? Drink, you know, hair of the dog and get back to it.
Yes, a little bit. I think that's what the song's about. So there you go. All right. So, I mean... This was fine. That the trajectory of Chase Rice's career, I think, is interesting. We talked about this last week, where that I don't think it was like that. People heard him on the Survivor, the Survivor finale, and then it was sort of like, hey, it's your cousin, cousin Marvin. Like, you got to listen to this,
Marvin Travis. Mm-hmm. Well, listen to this. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, like the funny thing is like he, like the conversation with Jeff before he lets him sing is very much just like, has this helped you at all? And he's like, no,
not really.
No, no, I was shown as a waffler who was dumber than a bag of hammers. Anyway, here's my EP.
Yeah. So, all right. It was interesting. Jace Rice. There it is.
And he got the audience clapping. Unlike Sekou, he did not need to encourage them to do so.
Yeah. So, all right.
I think even Jeff might have been clapping. So,
yeah, Jeff seemed into it. I don't know if he had that much to ask Jace.
Yeah. That's true, actually. Like, oh, we don't have much to ask him. Well, you know what? Let's just have him play a little bit.
To talk to you about as the first boots of multiple seasons.
Yeah, exactly. So it's interesting because, especially like you said, Rob, the trajectory of Chase's career, this wasn't a way his coming out party in that he wanted to pursue a career. This was not like the Cochrane, right, of, oh, we noticed this, therefore we're going to give you a country music career. But it is interesting, he's going to go on to be arguably one of Survivor's most successful alumni as a result.
So, I think that's an interesting list of Survivor's most successful alumni, and he may be number one.
I think there's a very, very good chance he could be number one just by pure net worth.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
How are we measuring? We're measuring success by net worth?
Or followers? I don't know.
I measure it by personal happiness, Jenny.
Philosophical here. Yeah.
Yes.
Exactly. I measure it by how much Prozac do you have to take to say bye-bye blues. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. All right. So let's look at the big board with Chase Rice. All right.
I also love how Jeff uses, I mean, it's interesting. He did not use, maybe because Chase's song was more down tempo, just a guitar. He did not use Sekou's song to be like, coming up next, we're talking with Candace and Adam. Are they
still
together?
Too many people were screaming.
He used Chase's song as a backing track to talk about Nayanka and Jane and Holly and how Jimmy Johnson would have died were it not for Survivor.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right.
Yeah, I love the play your song while I shout over you.
So it's not Ratchet.
Mm-mm.
So I feel like that if I was going to place this, like Chase Rice goes on to be famous and a big, huge hit. But I don't know necessarily if it's not because of this moment. And so I feel like to me, it's like in the Sean Rector area of like, here's somebody that's singing a song well, that's not super, you know, majorly iconic in terms of the show.
Yeah, I mean, it's a good question. Is this an iconic Chase Rice moment?
In the career or the Survivor history of Chase
Rice? Survivor
history. Yeah, from Survivor, like, lens, yes.
Hmm.
In his full career as a musician, likely not.
Yeah, what's the buzz on Buzzback?
Mm-hmm. Chase Rice, Buzzback. Is Buzzback one word or two?
It comes back up on Spotify.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yes, there's a video for Buzzback.
Is it in his This Is Chase Rice is the question. Like, is it a big enough hit?
I do love the albums that make remind you who the artist is, right?
Although, no, I don't think it's a, I don't know if it would say if it's a single. I think it's probably on an album, but I don't think it was a hit.
He has a song called I Like Drinking because it's fun.
Where's the lie, listen, Jenny?
He's not exactly metatextual when it comes
to
drawing metaphors.
Buzzback album version. So to differentiate from the Survivor reunion version,
live unplugged.
I'm assuming This Is Chase Rice on Spotify.
Should he have thrown a couple of Survivor references in to the reunion version? Going to wake up in Ponderosa.
Jeff did the most despised contestant ever.
Yes. I do see a music video for Buzzback. In the music video, it looks like the plot is that Chase is waking up after a night of drinking, hungover, that somebody has drawn on his face with a marker, and then his friends come over and they're watching a football game and they're going to just start drinking again. Boy.
Been there.
Yeah. Everybody find someone that loves you as much as Chase Rice loves drinking. Okay.
I'm curious. Oh. These songs, Best Beers of Our Life, Jack Daniels and Jesus, yeah. Beer with the Boy.
Oh, he's making out with somebody in the video.
Is this a cry for
help? Not Brenda.
Should we have seen the signs the entire time of like, this man is like singing about drinking just a little too much?
I mean, what's the help? He's doing great. He's doing great. Help us, Chase Rice.
PBJs and PBRs is a song.
Like, yes. Like peanut butter and jelly and PBRs. That's a disgusting taste combination.
Mike, he has a brand. Don't question it. He's doing great. He does not waffle about one thing.
Yeah, exactly.
Yes.
No waffles. No waffles. PBJ.
That's a separate breakfast.
Mm-hmm. He will give a straight answer. Yes, absolutely. I will be drinking today. Okay. All right. So what do you think? Sean Rector, Chase Rice.
It's tough because Sean's is more pertinent to Survivor, but Chase is more pertinent to the outside world.
Or
you know?
Should it be back to back with Seiko?
Oh, that's a good question. Should we put reunion moments back to back? I like that idea.
Mm-hmm. I actually like it there.
Yeah.
The bottom of Life Jenny, is Fine right after Seiko.
Dare I ask, should Seiko Bunch be higher than Chase Rice?
Yes.
You knew the answer to that question, Rob. Sir, Seiko goes through the graces of coming
know.
Up with an entire song about Survivor. Chase couldn't even spare a couple of Survivor references in Buzzback.
I stepped back to allow Seiko into My Life is Fine. We are not putting Chase effing Rice above him. I'm sorry. This is my hill I will die on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. Boy, I got the lyrics up for Buzzback. Let's see. 7 digits sitting in my phone. The thought of her won't leave me alone. There was making out and making plans. And maybe tonight we can do it again. I got the nerve to call her up and say, it's me. Hey, cutie, how about a bottle of wine and a movie? Could it be David Gulliver's Travels?
Yeah, we're going to watch Jack in Jill. Then we're going to make out on the hill. Drink a little more, then tumble down. Adam Sandler, he's such a clown.
Yeah.
Rob saying movie was shades of Gabe Cade saying equator.
Yeah, it's all about the emphasis, you know?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Trying to make it happen. Okay. All right. So, that nice Cure to the Hangover song that we sang on the Survivor Nicaragua finale. All right.
Yeah. Who knew Chase Rice was the country Chumbawamba?
Mike, what's next?
All right. We're only going 2 seasons later, and we're going back to Ponderosa. We're putting a guitar in the hands of one Jim Rice. This is a moment, Rob, that you brought to light when Jim Rice appeared on the podcast once upon a time. The Savaiis, suffice it to say, were not happy with John Cochran after he flipped on them at the merge of Survivor South Pacific. Some chose to take it out on him verbally, like Whitney Duncan. Some, like Jim Rice, saved their ichor for Ponderosa.
Cochran, you screwed me over! Yeah! Million. When I see you in a dark alley, I'll kick your ass.
Thank you.
There you go. Short, sweet. Not so sweet, actually.
It's not very sweet.
Very sour.
Yeah. We got a lot of mileage out of this on the podcast. I don't know how iconic this is. Caffeine says number one, baby.
I feel like it's like a cult hit, you know?
I mean, this is a battle of the Rices. I didn't even mean to put Chase Rice and Jim Rice back to back.
I didn't even put that together at all. Wow.
Rice Wars. Is that what they were singing about in Redemption Island?
Yeah, if your last one is Rice, be prepared to put a guitar in your hand and make music happen.
Yeah.
All right. Jim Rice. Jenny, had you heard this song before?
Oh, yes. Of course. Of course. I remember being so shocked by his singing voice, like how high it went. Mm-hmm. Like, it's so good. I actually, I find that it gets stuck in my head, even though it's like 4 lines.
Yeah.
Like, yep.
Cochran, you screwed me over.
It's not even like melodic. It's just him like screaming.
Yeah,
like
I had it on the soundboard for a while.
That may be fun.
Here we go.
Cochran, you screwed me over.
Yeah.
God.
I just love that it's like this placid, like nicely calmed out chorus, then
it's so jarring and beautiful.
It's fun. It's fun.
He's literally threatening violence.
Yeah. If I see you in a dark alley, I'll kick your ass.
Yeah.
All right. So I think I know what to do with this. Let's take a look at the board.
Throw it out here, Rob.
Okay. So to me, I feel like that the thing that this is the most similar to on the board is Shambo trying to sing the Eye of the Tiger. So it's like she's by herself. She's making herself laugh. She doesn't really know the words. I feel like that this is in this ballpark.
I think that's a reasonable ballpark. For me, I would put it above Shambo, at least. Just because it's an original song. And again, I know that it's Ponderosa. It's not a very well-known moment in the wider community, perhaps. But like I said, it's a cult favorite. It's simple. I don't know. I find it more memorable. But again, you know, lended by Rob and the podcast.
Here. This could be one of the only ones that you could turn into a ringtone, right? It's only like 30 seconds long.
Yeah. And I wonder, could we update it for this year?
COVID, you screwed me over.
Yeah.
When I see you from a social distance, I'll kick your ass.
My kids go to school on Zoom. Okay.
I'll kick your ass if you're not wearing
the
mask.
Yeah. I see you at Chase nice Rice's concert. Yeah.
Yeah, it's gonna be a nice pro mask PSA from Jim Rice.
Yeah. That's what we bring it back. Right now.
All right.
I like it here. I do feel like it's sort of in the same realm of Shambo of like, even if you're a devoted Survivor fan, you probably won't remember it too much, but it's entertaining in its own right.
We like
or Rice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Mike, what's next?
We're sticking with Ponderosa. We talked about one of the biggest Ponderosa moments ever. We got to skip ahead here to Rob, a character you're going to be talking about in 5 days' time. I'm talking about the Noble One, Chris Noble, here at Ponderosa. Yes. Let's hear his official rap song that he not only wrote and performed, but also created a full-fledged music video for during Survivor Ghost Island.
Feeling like a boss as a mile an hour. The buzz so real, it's like we bottle pop. Choppers on deck, their hearts flush when they drop it.
Straight calling dudes block when they body flopping.
Checking back from that blind side. They say that he's strong, but he changed with the high side. The dark side, the low B with the black dye.
The domino effect cost me a million in a swell eye. Living a dream, I'm Ponderosa. Swung for the fences, I call it Sammy Sosa. The juice all day and toss the porks in the roasters.
Probes on deck, feel the burn when he hosts ya.
Living a dream, I'm Ponderosa. Swung for the fences, I call it Sammy Sosa. The juice all day and toss the porks in the roasters.
Probes on deck, feel the burn when he hosts ya.
Life is a beach as I sip my Corona. Survivor on my mind, that's why I Ponderosa. It will toast ya, maybe bloat ya, send you to tribal where they roast ya. Oh, a dude might have ghost ya.
Auto service all day, we stay VIP. Serve the finest lobster like Seth Bondi. When things get hot, take a paddle to the sea. Unlock the door to freedom from my Florida key. On the jet ski, the vitamin D. What happens on the island stays in Fiji. Vanaka.
Great take, guys. Nailed it.
Vanaka indeed.
Oh my goodness.
Stop so rapping. Good. You're trash. Put the mic down, bro.
I just realized Chris Noble had a drink about sipping back and drinking Corona.
Yeah.
Oh.
Got the buzz back. Yeah.
Collab waiting to happen.
Yes. I have to say, I have not heard that in a while. And listening to just the audio, I think Wendell had a point.
Really?
I think the video is great. I completely agree. Yeah.
Completely.
The lyrics the and the music is trash. No, like it's trash.
Honestly, the music, it's so true. It sounds like honestly the equivalent of like Marty for class president. Here's a 10th grader being like, you should vote for me because I'll clean up the halls. I'll take everyone to the mall. Like just coming up with the weirdest rhymes. Such a monotone delivery.
With like random references to things that were not even in the show. Like it was like when Steph caught a lobster on day 3. Like that wasn't even in the show. That wasn't in the show. We have no frame of reference for that.
He goes from saying, we're popping bottles, like VIP bottle service. And then also Seb caught a lobster and we ate it on day 3. So it's like, he's like, are you in the club popping bottles VIP or are you on the island? Like there is a bit of a confused narrative. I don't want to get too in the weeds of his lyrics because again, the great Phil T, my partner in life and crime, not really, but
good save.
This is his bag. I don't want to step on his toes because I know that this is something that he's going to want to touch on this coming week. But he does have like a couple zingers. Survivor on my mind. That's why I ponder Osa.
That's a great one.
That's good. Okay. That's good. The video is amazing. The video is amazing.
The video is incredible.
I also do love swinging for the fences. We call it Sammy Sosa. Like, but he makes a lot of basketball references. Now he's moved on to baseball.
Yes. He didn't need to talk about Sammy Sosa twice, though.
It's the chorus, Rob.
It's part of his chorus or a bridge. I don't know. I can't really figure out the composition of these lyrics.
Okay.
But.
All right. It's an amazing video. The audio, the single, I don't know if it does much on its own.
But the fact that it exists puts it in the top tier, in my opinion. And this is so thematic, right? This is a guy who did raps during the season. This is Wendell dissing him by decrying his rapping skills. And then that same night when Chris is voted out, you could go to YouTube and watch Chris produce a rap video on his own in Ponderosa. Rapping is part of the legacy of Chris Noble. It has to be, at least in my opinion, number 3. It has to be. I personally put him behind Wanda above of T-Bird.
I would not feel good about us allowing Dragons be the first spot, being Ponderosa heavily, you know, guided by the fact that it has a video component, and not give Chris Noble his dues. Mm-hmm. And I really agree with Mike on this because, again, I thought that I wanted to keep Wanda in the top spot. I feel good about Chris Noble in the third spot of worst playing.
So Wanda is the meat of a Ponderosa bread sandwich?
Sure.
Okay.
And a hell of a piece of meat she is.
Dragons, Wanda, Chris Noble, T-Bird, Casey Kasem in the top 5, baby.
And I might be so bold as to say I think this might be the cemented top 5. We have 2 more to go after this.
Well, you know what's still to come.
I don't know if the other 2 will make the top tier.
Okay.
Yeah, that is squad.
I think that's a good top 5.
Squad goals, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that is squad goals.
All right. Mike, what's next?
This is going to be a very, very short one, a very small one, if you will. We are going all the way forward to Survivor Winners at War. In episode 3, I believe it was, Sandra catches a shark. Tony celebrates it with a children's heirloom, and I'm pretty sure this one is actually for children. It's very small, but I wanted to make mention of it.
Baby shark a doo doo doo, Sandra shark a doo doo doo,
yay!
There you go.
Yes, yay!
Yay! So, like, Tony gives me a little bit of like what I'm looking for in that he does the original, and then he throws in his own Sandra shark, which again, Tony calling Sandra Sandra, anytime that happens, it's joyful for me. I think that that's hilarious. Anytime someone who spends very much time with somebody still cannot pronounce their name or has their own interpretation on how they will pronounce their name. And the yay is just beautiful. It's very short and sweet to me.
Yes.
So it's 7 seconds long.
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
Much like the time that Sandra spent on the Edge of Extinction.
Oh.
Yay!
Okay. This is a hard one to place.
Right. It's a vine. It's the length of a vine. It's 7 seconds long.
Mm-hmm.
It is a vine.
Yeah. All right. Well, let's look at the board and see where'd you go. It's not Ratchet.
No.
Yeah, I think it's at least in My Life is Fine. But I honestly would put it, I would be fine putting it like in the back of My Life is Fine. Like it's cute, not mm-hmm. hot. I mean, not My Life is Fine. Sorry. Ain't no Hershey bar.
Yeah. I'll say it's better than Shapira.
Yeah, I think.
Randy Bailey did not say this was the worst moment in the history of the show.
Maybe I don't know Randy Bailey's feelings on that, but mm-hmm. yeah, I guess, I mean, if he still feels that way about the Shapira.
Yeah, he says Sandra ate his chicken, but I think he likes her. I don't know how he feels about Tony.
Yeah, I'm not sure.
Hmm.
It's so hard because it is such a short moment, but I just don't.
Unlike Gabriel's rapping, which went on forever.
But I love that, though. I love
the Ben Jerry song.
This stupid creativity that went
on a high note.
Matt, like,
I think I put this behind Shambo.
Really?
I don't know.
Yeah.
Tony's singing Baby Shark twice.
Yeah.
But I think that it's more, again, Tony won the season. It's one of the, you know, it made the actual aired show.
Yes.
It was a moment, like a character moment of his winning game where it's like you see his social game early on where he's kind of being playful and silly. So even though it's very, very short, I feel like there is like some importance to it. Also, we got that stupid song stuck in my head for like weeks after mm-hmm. this episode aired.
Yeah.
Which I maybe is a reason to knock it down some, but.
I don't
it's
mind
an earworm.
It.
It's an earworm, unlike Jennifer Lanzetti.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, Jerry's moment was in a secret scene that I feel like it's better than Gabriel.
All right. If you want to put it beyond the Shambo and the Shark, I guess we can put them together here.
Mm-hmm.
I think I almost put it between Jim Rice and Shambo. What do you think?
Well, of the three, Jim Rice,
too crazy here?
Jim Rice, Shambo, and Tony, at least Tony's was in an episode.
Yeah,
like Jim Rice was in Ponderosa.
Like better than Baby Shark, personally.
Shambo was in a recap show.
In the credits too.
Mm-hmm. Post credits of a recap show.
Yay!
Mike
really doesn't like this.
It's fine.
Is Asher making you listen to Baby Shark every day? Do you hate the Baby Shark?
I have an axe to grind against that damn fish.
Mm-hmm. All right.
I mean, I don't know. I don't know how I feel about because I just like the other two moments so much better than just like this. Yeah, Tony sings Baby Shark. It's fun
moment.
Yeah,
exactly. It's 7 seconds of Tony singing Baby Shark. I could do with it. I could do without it.
All right.
I think it's memorable. Again, it was just this past season. So. Yeah,
that's true as well. Recent,
but he's the winner of the season. It's the not first time. Our second 2-time winner, and it's an iconic character moment of his second winning game against all winners. I feel like it deserves.
I'm fine being outvoted here. If you two want to,
where do you want it, Jenny? Maybe we'll compromise.
I think between Jim Rice and Shambo.
Okay, that's just one spot. This one spot, Mike.
All right, we can quibble with one spot.
Moment.
Yeah,
I'll settle for one spot.
All right. Let's talk about our final spot on the list.
I cheated a little bit. Because look,
yes,
this doesn't come from a Survivor contestant proper. But when we decided we were going to do an Outwit Outplayout list about some of Survivor's greatest musical moments, I could not include this magnum opus into the show.
You better be ready. It's coming for you. The fire is burning, and when this is through, one soul will survive. It's coming for you. When is it war? Coming for more. When is it war? Now that you're in it,
What will you do? Keep your eyes open. They're coming for you. Come before the storm. Get ready for the thunder.
Sort of, I'll fade it out there. I got this from a YouTuber by the name of Survivor Pennsylvania, who actually took the snatches of the song that we heard throughout the season and actually pieced it together into a cohesive piece. And it bops, it slaps, it taps, it flaps, it punches, it jacks, it does all the verbs. So I highly recommend people check it out. But yeah. Like we have to talk about this. There's a freaking GD theme song for Survivor Winners at War,
And you love it.
I love it. It's ridiculous. And there's a theme song where they're doing a challenge and someone's yelling "Winners at War" to a song for the season called Winners at War.
I'm still surprised that there wasn't a full version discoverable in any other way except for somebody, you know, taking to YouTube to splice it all together, you know, from the episodes.
We were robbed of the live finale of Survivor 40. Yes. Do you think we would have had a live performance of the woman that sings the song of the Winners at War theme song? Would it have been a la Sekou Banj, a la Chase Rice? Would we have gotten the live performance?
I'll do you one better. Remember in the American Idol finale the first time when they brought in like all these people from all these years to sing together?
How could I forget the American Idol finale from the first time?
I think you composite it all together, right? You bring back Wanda. You bring back Chase Rice.
You're talking about something silly. You want like a We Are the Worlds Apart.
That's what I want. Yeah, I was talking about the series finale of American Idol the first time. Not a moment like this. I'm talking about, like, I want the dragons all there. I want the entire LaFleur tribe. I want Gabriel Cade there. I want Sonya there for getting the lyrics. Like, I need the entire group there to sing Winners at War.
Get LaFleur there as the background dancers.
Yeah, Winners LaFleur.
Oh boy. Wow.
And Chris Noble is gonna have like a solo in the middle. Be great.
Popping bottles because it's champagne flutes.
Somebody scream.
Chris Noble and Gabe Cade together. The way it's meant
ladies
to
and
be.
Gentlemen, Chris Noble. Yeah.
Just clapping.
Yeah, be wild. Yes.
It would have been absolutely wild. We know canonically that's what would have happened had we had the live finale of Survivor Winners at War with them singing Winners at War, Ready for War, Winners at War.
Just another reason how COVID, you screwed us over. Okay.
We need that to be a thing.
All right. Winners at War. Mike's hungry for more.
I am always hungry for more. I think this, I would argue putting this at the top of My Life is Fine, personally. Like, I don't think this is so iconic as these other five musical moments, but it's a freaking song for a season of Survivor.
I've never heard anybody else be as high on the Winners at War theme song.
Yeah.
I mean, used to people just pooping on it.
But that's, you could, the fun is pooping on it. Poop is fun in this regard, you know? It's fun to poop on it. It's fun to loud it with praise. It's an all-encompassing song.
And or every, on it.
And every single time throughout the weirdness of Winners at War, whenever that damn song came in, everyone was like, what the hell is going on? It was a rallying point for their Survivor community. But
it
like,
was a meme. It was definitely.
Yeah.
Okay.
It did have some meme power just because it was so random and unprecedented.
Yeah.
So I do think that it probably deserves to be in My Life is Fine. I could not personally let it go further than that. But.
Okay, that's fine. If Mike feels that strongly about it, that I feel like that.
Again, this is the other side of the recency bias, right? Like, if you were so high on Tony Baby Shark, I mean, people were singing You Better Be Ready ever since December 2019, including Rob Cesarino himself. So I think that it certainly has stood the test of time, I believe. It's been the most talked about thing maybe from the season for the past year and a half.
Okay, well then let's take a look at our list in toto, as Mike put in the beginning of the podcast, and see if we want to make any adjustments right now. Forget You Go Home Goodbye. We have at the very bottom, The Floor, is the LaFleur chant with Scout and her siren song right above it.
She did sound like a siren at one point, right? She's like, oh.
Any thoughts on changing it here?
I think this is good, and I think I'm fine with these two being in the bottom tier, because I think these two are the only ones to... Not the most interesting part of these songs, these scenes, aren't the songs themselves.
Yeah. Jenny, any thoughts?
No, I'm good with that. I think that yeah, like no complaints.
Okay. Then
it's they're in the right spot together. Like everything about it makes sense.
Just above it. Ain't no Hershey bar. There are seven moments here. Shapira, have you ever seen the rain? Then we have the beatbox of Gabriel. Then we have Jerry Manthe. We have Shambo, Eye of the Survivor, or Eye of the Tiger, by Survivor. Tony, Baby Shark. Jim Rice, Cochran, You Screwed Me Over. And Sean sings Brand New Day.
So I personally would be fine with swapping Gabe with Jerry. Just because I think, like, even the callbacks we've done over this podcast proves that Gabe's bad rapping, I think, has a little bit more entertainment value than Jerry singing yeah. Fiona Apple, despite how hard it may be.
Jenny, that's you like that?
That's a good point. Yeah, that yes. is. Like, we've been making way more callbacks to that than Jerry.
Yes. Okay. Well, list making is hard to do.
It is.
Yes.
But otherwise, I think I feel good about
yeah,
it.
Yeah, I feel okay about this.
All right. Then in the next tier, My Life Is Fine, we start with from bottom to the top, Chase Rice, Buzzback. Then we have Sekou Bunch, Survivor. That's the second Survivor's all in lowercase letters.
Yes, exactly.
Sonia sings Bye Bye Blues and Winners at War, the titular theme song.
I like also having, it's actually, there's a nice symmetry going on, right? We have both reunion performances next to each other, and we have the very first episode of the first season, and then the last season represented right next yeah. to each other.
Yes. Do we know, is Sonia a Cajun grandma by any chance?
Oh, maybe she was brought in.
Mm-hmm.
You better be ready, bye bye blues.
All right.
Hell of a mashup.
Jenny, any thoughts on changing this tier? My Life Is Fine.
No, I really love the pictures of Sonia and Sekou.
Yeah, we can't interrupt them.
Like they're jamming. They look
like performing Islands in the Stream.
And the Winners at War flag looks like it's just blowing in the distance behind them. So, I can't quibble with that too much.
Okay. All right. Then finally, we have Worth Playing For, Top 5 Baby. Okay, from 5 to 1. Casey Kasem and Voting Out Roger. We have T-Bird, The Sun Will Come Out Tomorrow. Chris Noble's Ponderosa Rap. We have Wanda, that basically the complete song collection of Wanda. And then the Dragons.
Yeah, Wanda the Experience.
Yes. All right.
Yeah, I am good with this. I'm ready to lock this in.
Yes. Yeah. All right.
I'm good.
We're great. All right, there we go. How about that?
That's your list. On a high note.
Let's take a picture. There it is. There okay.
go. Wow.
There it is. That's the
that
list.
Top five. It really is squad goals.
Yes.
Like,
yes. Okay.
It's so good.
All right. There it is. All right. If you want to take a look at the list. All right. Great job once again. Jenny, this was so fun to do the list with you.
I had a great time. I was so excited for this and it delivered completely. I'm always so happy to talk to either of you, and to be able to talk about something so fun like this has really made my Friday late afternoon, early evening. So okay. Thank you.
All right.
Now we made that very specific portion of time on this very specific day.
It's very important.
Tough time slot to fill. Yeah. Okay.
Well, you may notice from the video that my lighting has changed significantly from the time we started.
Yes, your microphone light is now.
The sun will come out, though, at some point.
Tomorrow.
I hope so. Tomorrow, likely.
Jenny, what do you have going on outside of ranking the arbitrary and reductive with us?
Not a whole lot, just popping on some streams here and there. I do have my own Twitch channel that
I saw that on Instagram the other day.
It's very casual. I was trying to stream Among Us last weekend. We were doing the proximity chat, and the technology, they weren't talking well to each other. But I do believe I will be streaming this Sunday with Puya and the gang, the whole squad.
That's my favorite band, by the way.
Yeah, Puya and the gang. And, you know, Phil and I occasionally just feel like, you know, doing dumb stuff. So you might see us popping up on your Twitch feed at some point. So it feels like, honestly, I'm taking it very, very casual. Because I just don't. Yeah, it's a very casual Twitch stream, but twitch.tv/JennyAutumn if you care to check that out.
Okay. All right. And then Mike Bloom, what do you have coming up?
Yeah, I could put out, here's my EP, I suppose. Everyday Podcast. That's what EP is for. Yes. So we have the aforementioned Paramount Mountain Brain Steel that's going to be coming up. Of course, Rob, you and I got together to talk about Tough as Nails, a very mysterious episode of Tough as Nails that you and I think tried to suss out this past week. On Down the Hatch, Josh Wigler and I talked about The Constant, which some argue is one of the best episodes of Lost of all time. It's so great to go back through that. The Bloom Files, my wife and I are talking through an entire arc in The X-Files Season 2 that I really enjoyed as well. And then coming up, Shannon Gus and I are going to talk some Survivor South Africa this weekend. And I'm very excited. This was announced last night, Rob, when you got together to draft and talk about the cast of Big Brother Canada 9. I'm going to be doing a Big Brother Canada think tank with Taryn Armstrong and breaking news, some new panelists announced. Jenny Autumn herself will be there.
Whoa!
As well as my partner in crime on the B&B. We won't be bringing the B&B back to Big Brother, but we're going to have it live in some form here on the podcast. Leona Boris is going to be joining Taryn and I.
An all-star panel.
Yeah, so we're going to, I think Taryn's going to come up with a Google form in the next day or so. We'll tweet it out. But if you all have ideas for weird, wacky twists, because you know Big Brother Canada loves to do that type of stuff, feel free to write into us. We'll go through your suggestions. We'll make up our own. We'll have a generally really fun, zany time before we get into Big Brother Canada proper. So be sure to check all that, and I'm sure much more coming in the next week.
Okay. Let's talk about what's coming up on Rob Has a Podcast. Of course, I mentioned Wednesday night, HHH went through everything from the 33rd best season, according to the listeners of Rob's podcast, Survivor, HHH. No musical entries from HHH here tonight, but still, the 33rd best season. Check out what's going on there. And then we did our Big Brother Canada 9 draft last night. Myself and Taryn and Amon and Melissa got together to draft the Big Brother Canada 9 cast. We had a replacement in the cast live on the show. It was wild. You can check out our draft coverage as we get ready for the new season of Big Brother Canada 9. Very excited. I will be hosting our Monday night recaps live on Big Brother Canada. I didn't do any Big Brother Canada 8 podcasting last season except for a guest spot after the first episode. So I will be with you along the way for Big Brother Canada 9 with no Survivor going on here this spring. Tough as Nails, Mike mentioned, he and I got together. Jessica Lise will be back with us next week as we recap Tough as Nails Season 2. Over on Rob's podcast. And later on Friday night, we will drop the conclusion to our series on the RHAP Rewind covering Pirate Master. Jordan Kalish, Seeds Matey, joins myself and Aaron Robertson to talk about the home stretch of Pirate Master. There you go.
Wow.
And all this week, we are reminding people about the work that is being done by the North Texas Food Bank, helping out our listeners in the state of Texas. If you are interested in learning more, and if you have the means, you can make a donation to the North Texas Food Bank like we did. We donated 3,000 meals to the North Texas Food Bank, ntfb.org. And there's also many other great organizations in the state of Texas helping out people that were affected by the winter storms there in the last week. Thank you so much for checking us out here today. All right. Anything else?
No, I mean, I think that not to to put the cart before the horse, but I think that we might be doing another Triple O coming up sometime in the next few weeks as well, as we're gearing up for maybe some Survivor coming back, but maybe not for, for a little while. So look forward to some more listing going on, even if we're moving on from the musical moments themselves.
All right. Jenny, anything else?
No, this is a great time. Honestly, great way to kick off my weekend. I'm smiling.
Yes. Okay.
Oh,
all right.
Your buzz back.
Yeah, I got your buzz,
got back.
Somebody scream. Take care, everybody. Have a good one. Bye. Support for this podcast comes from our friends over at Geico. Do you own or rent your home? Sure you do, and it's hard work, but you know it's easy bundling with Geico. Geico makes it easy to bundle your home and car insurance, and it's a good thing too, because you're busy enough. Go to geico.com. Get a quote. See how much you could save. It's Geico easy. Visit geico.com today.